commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire...
Celsius Hockey.
Welcome to another Big Fake Radio Show. Joining me as always is new Larry, Kevin Jank.
You really need to stop pressing your body up against mine because it's making it really hard to concentrate.
That's a quote from the movie we're watching this evening, Big Trouble in Little China from 1986. And Tuffy is not here this week. He's up playing grab ass in Michigan. But the man who chose that movie... For this week, he's my personal attorney, spiritual advisor. It's Larry!
Aw, shit!
Mm-hmm. Wait.
That's it. That's the whole quote. What, Mike Dell?
What's up, Larry?
I'm playing Warrior tonight?
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, going in for Tuffy.
I got plenty of legal advice.
Larry, it's been a while since you've been on the big show. It's been a while. What was the last movie? Was it Pitch Perfect? Was that the last time you were on?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The weeks all blend together, you know?
I hear you.
So it's probably been like, it's like 2 months, I think, since you've been on the show, Larry.
Yeah, that's what I was, the other night, Nick and I were outside. I was like, I think it was last weekend. I think Sunday we were outside. I was like, I have a feeling I'm going to hear from Mike Dell soon. I'm surprised I haven't heard from him yet, but I'm not going to poke the bee up. Or anything.
Do you hear the storm cloud sound effect in your mind as the dark clouds of the LCS show roll back in?
Yeah, well, exactly.
Well, I did reach out to you, remember, before Easter, because someone was it you, Jank, or was it Tuffy back then, too? I can't remember. But someone couldn't do the show. So I said, let's see if Larry can do the show. And you said, and I quote, Good Friday's real big around here.
So yeah. I can't. Good Friday, serious over here.
Ridiculous. So I never know. Like, I don't want to bother you. But,
bothered.
It is water skiing season, though, coming up for Tuffy. So there's going to be some openings.
It's going to I thought you meant this weekend. I was like, it's going to be cold as fuck, man.
Yeah, he went up there to get things prepared this weekend.
What is that? Like, to put the skis on the dock?
What do they have to do? They have to get the boat ready, the dock ready, all that kind of stuff. So, all right.
Yeah. Loosen up their calves, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just picture, like, it's like, it's kind of like, I don't know, the B-list Kennedys, I imagine. The like, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I could see them, like, sitting around the picnic table, like the sweaters over the shoulders type of thing. Nietzsche or something like that.
Cover up all his family's Chappaquiddicks.
Yeah. I don't know if you're aware of this, Larry, but last summer, Tuffy, there was an incident involving spicy sausage.
Is that me?
Well, he ate some spicy sausage. And then he woke up in the middle of the night and kind of pooped himself.
I shit myself this week at one point.
This week? Wow.
Wait, this week? It was?
Yeah, I think it was Tuesday. Yeah. I had just woke up. I was standing at the sink. I was getting water for Ziggy. I was feeding him, and I was like, I was like, I don't know if that's a fart or a shit. I'm like, either way, I ain't chancing nothing. So I just stood there, like, squeezing my ass together for, like, 20 seconds. I had such a stomachache. And then, like, stomach goes, you could feel, like, the shifting where it's like, and I was like, nice. Like, the pressure relieved. And I was like, all right, cool. So then, like, I go back and I go to put the water down for Ziggy. And I was like, why does my butt feel wet? So, like, it wasn't a lot. It was just, like, maybe a quarter-size spot in the old underpants. Of the poo water, but, like, yeah, I don't know.
Good Lord.
And I'm no good anymore.
It's, This is what we miss when Larry's not on this show.
Yeah.
These kind of stories.
They have to have it rifled now. It's just widespread. Well,
I hope everything's all right there, Larry. And, you know, you're feeling better. And,
yeah. Who knows?
All right.
I got a question. Who the fuck ever told John Mulaney that he was funny? Like, I want to know who that was so I can slap them. Why does that guy have everything going on?
Like, he's just a poor man Seinfeld, right? Isn't that his whole act, is just pretending to be Seinfeld?
Yes. I don't know. I've heard Seinfeld tell a joke. I don't know. Maybe not. Just saying, Jesus Christ. Like, he's got that new Netflix show or whatever now. It's like Everybody's in LA or something.
What? I have no idea. Well, yeah, what did you say, Jay?
Yeah, they're advertising the hell out of that.
Yes, it's watching. On everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, why would anybody funny want to talk to John Mulaney? Like, I don't understand. Like, just to see what it's like, I guess, to not be funny. It's like, oh, hey, listen, I understand. I'm opening for, like, fucking some jackass, but I'm not John Mulaney, at least.
It makes you look better in comparison. Like, I wasn't the biggest Gaffigan fan, but now, you know, he was a lot better than John Mulaney.
Hot Pockets.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember Mulaney. He had they tried to give him a sitcom. I think it was called Mulaney, right?
Oh, yeah, I think. Cheap. I remember that, yeah.
It was just a cheap knockoff of Seinfeld, and it didn't last. Yeah.
Didn't he have, like, a wife he was real loyal with, and then, like, as soon as he got a little bit of fame, he, like, immediately just started banging?
I have no idea.
I don't know. Fuck that guy anyways.
Yeah, I'm not up on my John Mulaney.
But, yeah, good.
Yeah. Same.
Better off.
Shame. So, Larry, what have you been up to in these, besides, you know, accidents? What have you been up to?
Nothing.
Man, I always think you're going to have some adventures to tell us about.
I got nothing. You know,
hey, Larry, okay? I had an adventure today. I left the house twice.
Two times in one day?
Two times today.
I saw you crack 10K on the car.
I did. I'm up to 10,017 miles.
Wow.
Yeah. 8 years, 10,000 miles.
Where did you go twice?
Well, today, I mentioned on the show a couple weeks back. Hey, Jack, remember I got that art show coming up?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So Larry, Seton Hill's having some art show for, like, alumni, you know? And I saw they sent out a notice, and I was like, yeah, I'm not going to do it. But then they sent out another notice that they extended the deadline, and that always means, well, they're not getting anyone to do it. So I'm like, all right, I'll submit some of my paintings. So I the Get Smart painting I did in Kurt Cobain, they're both going to be in the art show. Do you remember those? Yeah.
Absolutely, I remember them because I have a Derek Jeter.
That's right. I painted you a Derek Jeter. But they were old, you know, and they're a little beat up because they're like 20 years old, these paintings. So I'm like, I should probably clean them up, you know. Like, but I needed to go buy paint. So, we have a Michaels, you know, out behind Westmoreland Mall.
Yeah.
And, last night I got on and online, they had a sale online, 40% off if you order it online. So I only needed like two tubes of paint. And, I said I'd pick it up in the store.
Okay.
Sure. So when I woke up today, I had to go there and pick up the paint. And they said, when you get in the store, go to the grab and go section. And your order will be waiting there. I'm like, all right, cool. So I go in the door and I'm looking around for this grabbing. Oh, well, sure enough, it's right to the left. You know, just turn it, boom. And they just got this wall like buckets, and they got like an alphabetical order. And then there's a D, so I go to, and there's my name printed out, and here's your order. So, but I just reach in and grab it and leave. Like, there's no one there. Like, no one checks your ID. Nothing. So you could just walk into any Michaels around this country, just go and grab something and leave, and you're perfectly fine.
Yeah.
So, seems a little odd. But, so I had to do that, but, that place is right behind the casino.
Okay.
I didn't go into this, don't get excited, I didn't go into the casino. But that's the first time I've seen that casino. Like, just the outside of it, even, you know what I mean?
I hear you.
It looks pretty cool from the outside. Like, it's, like, the building's design is pretty nifty.
You smell the kitty glitter.
No, I did not, but... It was exciting being that close to a casino.
Do you realize you're a man approaching 50 that went to Michael's today and looked at a casino?
Yeah. It was thrilling.
Being near a casino.
You're kind of cheesed about it and stuff.
So then I came home and I fixed up the paintings. You know, I did that for a while. And then I went and I got Chinese food. So I left the house twice.
Did you get broccoli?
Broccoli and garlic sauce, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Larry, the one, when I reached out to you, I don't know if it was about doing the show or what was it about recently, but you said Nick went to go get Chinese food.
Oh, yeah, that was, yeah.
That was a while ago. Forgot to ask, what do you usually get when you get the Chinese?
I usually get something called Triple Delight. It's like beef, chicken, and shrimp with mixed vegetables, but I think that day I got the Chow Mei Fun, which is like a thin rice noodle that has like, it's kind of stir fried with like scrambled egg and like cabbage. And
well, there's why you pooped your pants.
Oh, yes. I love it. Whatever like meat you want in there, shrimp, beef.
Oh, well, that's something. Yeah. What is Nicky?
Is that why you pooped?
You get sweet.
You're like, you're in the middle of eating Chinese food and you're like, hey, you can watch Big Trouble in Little China.
No, I just was on Tubi and I'm like, here's a movie I've never seen really.
Yeah, I'm astounded by that. When, cause you said, you always want to pick a good movie. You're classy like that.
Yes.
Know?
Yeah.
So you're like, so you said, let's watch Big Trouble in Little China. I'm like, oh, I'm sure, you know, we're relatively the same age, Larry. I'm sure growing up, I loved that movie. Yeah. It was a big thing for me. And then I'm like, oh, I'm sure Larry's a big fan. He just wants to relive his childhood. And then I tell Jank we're watching, and Jank's like, yeah, I haven't really ever seen the whole thing. And then you said you hadn't seen the whole thing. What gives?
I don't know. I just never had seen it before.
Just a blind spot.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you, though. Now that I watched it, I kind of understand why I
hate one. How dare you? He's great.
There's some interesting aspects, but yeah, as a whole, I don't know.
Oh, this is a swing and a miss.
What?
I don't know. We'll get into it at some point, but yeah, I don't know.
I was shocked by this. I was shocked. Because then you said you're going to do your top 11 Kurt Russell movies. Is that still a thing?
Yeah, just did not make it.
See, I don't know how. This would be like number two on my Kurt Russell movie list, probably. This would be.
But then you've only seen one other Kurt Russell
movie. Yeah, I think I've seen like maybe five when I was thinking about it. Maybe five Kurt Russell movies.
Time and Holly? that was one.
Wait, what was that one there? what did you say there, Jake?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He was in there.
Yeah. Oh, I wasn't even counting that.
That'll come up.
I forgot about that.
Nice.
I tried to push that from my memory.
But, no, you won't.
Yeah. All right. Was there anything else here at the top of the show, or do you just want to get right into Big Trouble in Little China?
You're running the show, man. Whatever you want to do.
Oh, well, Larry, fantasy baseball, I whooped you last week 10-0. That's besides the point. But Paul Skeens is coming up tomorrow for the Buccos.
You
fired up about that.
I am looking forward to it. If it was a night game, I'd be like, yeah, I ain't going to watch it. But it's in the afternoon, so I will.
I thought you were going to say if it was a night game, I'd go down to see it in person.
Oh, fuck no.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. My mom could be picked tomorrow. There's no way I would go. I just don't want to.
Maybe you can do a Mike Dell. Go near it and be like, ooh, I was close to the stadium.
Yeah, I looked at the outside of it. The lights were
swell stadium.
Pretty cool.
Boots? Not
I smelled it. Yeah.
But this Paul Skeens, it may be the next Roger Clemens, right? He could be the
might be, hopefully without the juice.
And then they have that Jared Jones kid. He's tearing it up, too.
Yeah, he's pitching tonight. He's pitching right now. He's on the mound as we're speaking.
And you know the best thing about those two kids, they both throw 100 miles an hour. They're overpowering pitchers, and they're both on the Mayday Malones.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah, got them both.
I'm going to be honest with you with this fantasy baseball. There's days I forget about it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck, man, I forgot about the fantasy
The reason baseball. We did that fantasy baseball, I'm like, oh, well, yeah, I'll get me back into watching baseball, you know, something new. Yeah. I haven't watched one fucking pitch of a baseball game this season.
No, not even Pirates?
Nope. I check my lineup at the beginning of the week and that's it. So the Mayday Malones are coming on strong. So see how that goes. What else? Oh, Larry, would you like to break down the Stanley Cup playoffs?
I saw the Rangers are in it.
7-0. They haven't lost yet.
I saw that Jacob Trouba douchebag or whatever, like, lunged his elbow at somebody the other night.
Like a long dart. He just shot.
That guy's a fucking dick. I would love to beat the fuck out of that asshole. I would.
He's a big dude. He's a big dude. I'm and a professional dude. Athlete.
I am not that. I am big, though, so.
The Rangers are looking real good, and they're about to sweep Carolina and Jake Gensel, and then him out of the playoffs. So
now, is he been troublesome down there? Because I saw something on Twitter last night. Somebody like, yeah, you know, Jake Gensel fucking with the chemistry down there or some shit.
No, he's been scoring a lot. Like, he's been their best player probably. But he's been fine. He's been perfectly fine for them. But, you know.
Is he going to resign with Pittsburgh after the season?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that ended, it seemed to end poorly here in Pittsburgh between him and Dubas. I don't think they
I heard it was his dad is the pain of the ass.
Oh, I don't know. But the last thing I heard was like Brian Rust bought his house. He sold his house to Brian Rust, so I don't think he's coming back.
All right. Get another house. There's other houses.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, he could come back, but it seems unlikely. But if they get swept, yeah, maybe, you know, probably doesn't want to go back to Carolina after that. So we'll see. What are you going to do? All right. Well, Jake, would you like to break down the NHL playoffs?
Not so much.
Yeah, the Rangers are in it, so just that.
Rangers.
All right. Well, let's do Big Trouble in Little China. Then I hear tell Jank's got a game he made.
Nice.
And then we'll talk other nonsense. Champions. We'll have to talk champions later, maybe.
Talk about the Tom Brady roast. Did you guys watch that?
I did not watch that. I heard about it.
Pretty great. I enjoyed it.
And you love sports.
Yeah,
I clearly. Hate Tom.
Well, you get to watch people shit on him for like 3 hours, so that's pretty good.
That's a lot of fucking time for the same fucking 9 jokes.
I think I don't know who said this joke, but I heard someone said something along these lines that if you have the opportunity to go 8-9 with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers one last time, and all it cost you is your family, you'd do it.
Yes. I heard Randy Moss made a joke like, how come you guys weren't cheating when I was here?
Yeah.
Okay. There were so many Aaron Hernandez jokes. It was great.
Oh man,
they were making fun of Randy Moss like not having a ring. They're like, oh, you know, even like Drew Bledsoe got a ring, Aaron Hernandez got a ring around his neck.
Oh my god. Hey, Dad.
Hey. That's cool, though. I heard Julian Edelman was making all kinds of gay jokes or something about him and Tom banging.
Yeah. Well, I think everyone sure was making it. Oh, he was making them, or they were making them about him?
So Julian Edelman were making
them. Yeah. He leaned into it, yep.
But I looked it up. Like, he's not gay, though, because I saw he's dating Shakira or something.
Yeah. Who's that lady? Who is the big, very popular lady comedian on there that everyone loves?
Nikki
Glaser. Really yeah. Good. She was on the Pat McAfee show, and I think she was talking about how they were going to make jokes because they, you know, prepare for this or whatever. And she said that, yeah, Edelman said he just leaned into the gay stuff to really, those would be his jokes, I guess. But
all right.
Yeah.
That's fine. You picked a thing.
It was good. Jeff Ross, I think, said something like, well, we were going to roast you in your home state of Florida, but according to your governor, we couldn't have called you gay, so we had to do it here in Texas.
Oh, Texas. Ugh. Yeah. I hate Tom Brady.
Yeah, I hate him too, but, there is a thing where he kind of helped kick Crosby get over the concussion, so I got to kind of.
I know nothing.
He nursed him back. Baby bird, huh?
No, it's actually Giselle. Like, Sid and Tom and Matt and Giselle was watching the news about how Sid was having problems with his concussions. And she told Tom that Sid should go to this doctor in Colorado that specializes in spinal stuff. And Tom told Sid, Sid went to that doctor and they diagnosed the problem that it really wasn't concussions. It was like a nerve at his neck that was causing the issues.
Yeah.
And so without Giselle, she can go fuck that karate guy because she earned, you know.
What karate guy is she fucking?
You instructor.
Yeah.
I see.
Kevin Hart was calling him a karate guy, right? Or a kung fu guy or something.
Yeah, I think so.
Karate guy. Pop star never stop it.
Yeah, that's something great.
Never saw it.
I'm a karate guy.
I love that fucking movie. It's so fucking good. I think you would love that. Like, you like Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah, I did like Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Yeah.
Nick and I just started watching that. We're about maybe only seven or eight episodes into it, but it's enjoyable.
Yeah, it's a very good show.
Terry Crews is pretty awesome.
I'm trying to think the sequence of events for that show because it was on a long time. I never watched the final season. But he has the romance. Like, who's the girl on there that he likes?
Three women. I don't know. I'm only seven episodes.
He marries one of them, you know, eventually.
Chelsea Peretti?
No, she leaves after like season five, I think, or six.
All right, is it the dark haired girl or the bitchy girl?
the bitchy dark. The dark haired girl.
I don't remember her name.
Yeah.
She's kind of.
She's good looking.
Yeah.
But they have a romance there, on again, off. Or like, you know, one of those old, I'm not in love with you, even though we're perfect, you know, one of them deals. And I think season three they get together, maybe season three, something like around there.
All right.
But I'd say, the first five, Andre Brower, he's hilarious on there.
Yeah. He's dead.
Yeah, it's very sad.
Yeah. Easy.
But, all right. So there it is. I think that's the show. We got to do Big Trouble in Little China. This came out in 1986. I was an 11-year-old lad. I don't think I saw it in the theaters. I think we probably rented it because that was a thing back then. You know, you rented movies.
Yeah.
And here's another memory. Here's another memory I have of this, Larry.
Mm-hmm.
You know Burger King. Did you ever hear a tale of Burger King?
I'm pretty sure I've heard of Burger King. Yeah.
Well, back in like '86 or '87, they had this thing. I think they were called Burger Buddies.
Okay. Remember this?
It was like you got a 3-pack of these miniature hamburgers.
Oh, like sliders?
Castle sliders.
They didn't do it a very long time, but so this was like a new thing they were just coming out with. And I was very excited. And I was like, I'm going to eat these and I'm going to watch Big Trouble in Little China. And I can't remember if I had kept them like a day, I reheated them or something the next day. But I just remember eating them while watching Big Trouble in Little China thinking, wow, these fucking suck. These hamburgers are so terrible.
here's what I'm saying. You voluntarily watched a Kurt Russell movie while eating burgers. Where is that Mike Dell?
That was 30 years ago.
Jesus Christ.
How sad is it that we've been alive, Larry, long enough to say something happened 38 years ago?
I'm fucking, it's ridiculous.
Good God.
It is ridiculous.
Anyway, that's a memory I have of this film. Yep.
My memory is I came home from work today and I pushed two and then there it was. I hit play.
I can't believe you never saw it and I can't believe you didn't like it. This is ridiculous.
I'm not saying I didn't like it. It's just I don't love this movie. I will never watch this again.
I hadn't seen this since I was 11. So.
Okay, because I really feel like that's playing into your...
Yes, I would imagine. A nostalgia.
For the first time, you would hate this fucking movie.
I don't know if I'd hate it, because we've watched a lot of terrible movies on there.
Yeah, that's true. I see that.
Yeah, the bar is pretty low.
It's with the There's no bones.
But the description on IMDb, a rough-and-tumble trucker and his sidekick face off with an ancient sorcerer in a supernatural battle beneath Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
That's the description. Sometimes this is billed as John Carpenter's Big Trouble in Little China, because he's the filmmaker here, the director.
True.
John Carpenter.
I love John Carpenter.
Me too. This is one of the few I feel like I haven't seen, so I guess I'm glad I did this.
I'll be honest with you, I didn't even know this was a John Carpenter movie until I started fucking watching it. I was like, fucking serious? And I was like, I can't believe I've never watched this. Kurt Russell and James Wong and John Carpenter, this is going to be good. Hot Kim Cattrall.
Yeah, like I had no idea Kim Cattrall was in it, because, you know, I didn't know who she was when I was little, and but then when I saw the poster when we were going to watch the movie, I'm like, holy shit, that's
Kim Cattrall.
No, I didn't. And I was like, oh, there's Kim Cattrall. I was like, holy hell, I didn't know she was in this. Apparently, they didn't want her for the movie, like some of the executives and whatnot, because she was known for being in raunchy comedies. Porky's and something similar to Porky's. But then she it got her the job here. So, and who did the studios didn't want Kurt Russell at first. They wanted Jack Nicholson or maybe Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood?
It would have been like, it would have been pretty fun.
They were unavailable, so they got Kurt Russell. And when the original script, this movie was set in 1880s, and it was in the Old West.
Ooh, wow!
It's like a Chinese cowboy situation. Yeah, and instead of being having his truck stolen, he has his horse stolen.
Yowzer.
Yeah. So they rewrote the script, and that's pretty cool that the original writer sold the script. And then they just said, we're going to rewrite everything. But they still got credit, even though they rewrote everything. So they updated it to modern times. And then Carpenter, this was like the last mainstream movie he made for a long time, because his experience was so terrible with the executives and whatnot, always trying to meddle into his business and whatnot. So after this, he started just doing independent film. Like They Live, Jank, I think it was, he did that independently. So.
That movie is awesome.
I've never seen that.
Yeah.
You've never seen
it. It seems like the ideal movie for me, you know, but yeah. Never. Roddy Piper.
Layden?
Yeah. Roddy, what's the dude? What's his partner's name? They just kick ass in that fucking movie.
Yeah.
Keith David.
I love Keith David.
Yes, he's awesome. That movie's so good. That's an awesome 80s movie.
We almost watched it one time on here. Remember, Jank, you were going to pick it, but then it was like leaving Tubi, right? Wasn't that the situation?
I think it was on like Peacock. It was on the Cock, I think, and then it was leaving. Oh. Yeah. But it might be on Tubi now, I think. I feel like I've seen it.
Yeah, you should watch it.
All right, I'm trying to think of any other interesting tidbits here about the... this movie was a commercial failure, shockingly.
Oh, shit. Here's another thing, too, because the way it's built, just from the poster, I was like, this is going to be kind of wacky, like Ghostbusters. It is not funny at all. Like,
what are you talking about? It's hilarious.
This movie is not hilarious. It is not hilarious. Jake, do you think this movie is hilarious?
No. Like, the jokes are the one-liners weren't very good, so that was a problem. But the aspect of, you know, Kurt Russell being this supposed ass kicker who just always fucks up and can't seem to do anything right. That's kind of funny. That's a cool premise.
Kurt Russell is very funny in this as Jack Burton. And that was kind of Carpenter's whole idea here, is he wanted Jack Burton, this supposed hero of the movie, to actually be the sidekick of the movie, the bumbling sidekick. And Dennis Dunn, who plays Wang Chi, who would normally be the sidekick, he's actually the hero here because he's very competent in everything he does. And
that guy's good.
Yeah. And you mentioned James Hong, Larry. He plays the main evil guy, David Lo Pan, and he's in everything, but he was the maitre d' in the Chinese restaurant episode of Seinfeld.
Yeah. he's also Norbit's dad in the movie, and that movie's fucking awesome.
I feel like he's in a lot here on this show.
He probably has 300 credits on IMDb. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Everything Everywhere All at Once, he was in that movie.
And there's a lady in this movie named Susie Pai, and she plays like the green-eyed Chinese girl in this, who the evil guy is trying to marry, and then, or sacrifice, depending on how you look at it. And she was Penthouse Pet of the Month in 1981.
Really? Because, you know, I'm going to be honest, God, with you, is early in the movie, the sidekick guy, like, he holds up a picture of her. Uh-huh. And I thought, like, wow, they just made Kim Cattrall look kind of like racist Asian. Like, I thought that was Kim Cattrall because she kind of looks like Kim Cattrall a little bit. They look similar. I thought, I was like, wow, that's, I was like, yeah, that would never play today. The kids would fucking go apeshit if they did that today.
I don't know how closely she looks like Kim Cattrall, but all right.
Does a little bit. Like, I'm not saying, but I'm saying, when you put a little makeup, like,
I mean, yeah, maybe they put the full geisha makeup on, I could kind of see it, but.
Yes.
Not as a.
Ooh, that's racist.
Victor Wong is in this. He plays Egg Shea. He's Egg very familiar to me. I can't tell you what else he's been in, but he's.
Tremors. I think he was the shop owner in Tremors.
Never saw it.
In Tremors.
Yeah. I think those are all the famous people in this, right?
Yeah.
Okay, right.
So, yeah, the movie was a commercial failure. It made $11 million against, like, a $25 million budget.
Oof.
And, of course, now it's a cult classic. Everyone loves it except for these two jerks. Everyone else But they said the problem was that they didn't – I forget what studio released this, but they didn't really advertise it properly. And, like, all the advertising campaigns would show a picture of Kurt Russell saying, who is he? And stuff like that. That was the tagline, like, who is Jack Burton or who is he? And what's, and I guess Kurt Russell said, no one gives a shit who he is. You know, you need to tell him why people should care who he is. And so I just don't think people understood what the movie, because it's a kind of a tough sell, Chinese mysticism and weird creatures and whatnot.
And, yeah. Weird creatures. If you would have sold it more on the bit of the weird creatures, I think I would have liked it more.
See, I think the thing I like least about this movie is the weird creatures. Like if you took the weird creatures out of the movie, I'd like it a lot better.
Really? I liked it. I thought the effects were cool.
Oh, the effects are garbage.
They're perfect in that 80s way where it's just kind of goofy looking. I loved it.
But this movie had a big influence on Mortal Kombat, obviously.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah,
basically fighting Raiden there at the end.
Yeah. It's the ripped off that guy. And also the main villain. Oh, Jank, the when whatever his name is, David Lo Pang or whatever, the main villain guy, the old guy. Like his, the way he looks when he's not in the wheelchair and decrepit, but, you know, when he's a normal guy. I guess they based the character of the Mandarin on him in that era of Marvel Comics.
Well, I think the Mandarin had been around for a long time.
But his visual appearance, they based it on him, like with the longer hair and the mustache or whatever. I don't know, whatever.
But, he was like that since the beginning, but okay.
What, was he back in the day?
I mean, maybe he wasn't as old looking, but I thought he still had the long hair and stuff.
Yeah, well, that's what I read. Who knows? People are lying all the time.
What the hell are you guys talking about?
Nerd stuff.
Ben Kingsley?
Yeah.
Yes, well, Ben Kingsley, but the comic book version of Ben Kingsley. Hmm. So, what else in here? I don't know. I guess that's it. Let's get into it.
You seem disappointed.
Well, I thought you guys were going to love this movie.
I thought I was going to love it, too. Because even, like, maybe about 15 minutes in, I'm like, I'm kind of into this. And then about like 45 minutes in, I was like, I can't wait till this is over. It's fine. There's a lot of bullshit filler in this movie of like 97 guys all kicking the shit out of each other at the same time. And it just, we don't need this many fights in this movie because they're just filling screen time. That's all they're doing, really.
That's a fair critique, I would say. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's fair. So the movie opens, there's a scene of, the Egg Shen guy, and he's kind of like the local Chinatown expert in mythology and lore about all this stuff. And he's like in a lawyer's office being like questioned about the events of the film. And who is, like, this Jack Burton guy, is he really here or whatever? Do you really believe in this Chinese magic and stuff? And he's like, yeah, I'll show you. And then we get those dazzling special effects that Cenk loves so much. The lightning bolts between his hands.
It's simple that he likes something about them.
But that whole beginning there, they made John Carpenter add that because like I said, the studio execs didn't grasp the concept that Jack Burton wasn't the hero. And so they wanted him to add that little bit at the beginning to make it seem like Jack Burton was some big time hero guy.
Ah.
But I don't think that the beginning works kind of, but it really doesn't. So like, cause it mentions like a building explodes in green flame and you're not, but did we ever see a building explode in green flame? I guess that brothel maybe like in the middle of the movie.
Yeah, they had that big green cloud over the top of it. I guess that's what they're talking about. Then those three jackasses come in, just start ripping the ceiling down and shit.
But it seems like that would be a weird thing they'd be questioning him about because it happened like in the middle of the film. You think I was expecting some huge thing to happen at the end of the movie with green flame and everything. And then like at the end, Egg Shen or whatever his name is, he just leaves. Yeah, so now he comes back to be questioned later. But no, it just didn't make any fucking sense then. So.
No. No, they should have interrogated somebody else, like the restaurant owner guy.
Or Kim Cattrall.
Yeah,
she looked good here, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I thought she was funny. She was pretty good, her character.
Where was the funny? Tell me what was funny.
Just the way she was acting all the time. She was acting like she's like a do-gooder attorney in Chinatown trying to help all these people and whatnot. And I don't know, just the cadence of her delivery and stuff. I guess he said he was trying to make it like Howard Hawks, like His Girl Friday and all that with Cary Grant and Rosalind Russell, which I'm sure is a reference all the kids get when I talk about that. The quick banner and stuff, you know, between her and Jack Burton. But Larry, you didn't like Kurt Russell in this? Come on, he was great.
You know... I don't know. It's almost like he's like, I'm going to be like Snake Plissken, but a bumbling asshole. From I don't know.
He's clearly doing like a Wayne impression the whole time, which is kind of fun.
What'd you say, Jenko? What kind of impression?
He's clearly trying to do like a John Wayne impression, it seemed like.
Yes, that's what he said, actually. That's what he said, that was his inspiration was John Wayne. And he made a bunch of movies with Carpenter, right, Cenk? Like all the Escape from New York.
Escape from New York. LA.
And when Carpenter approached him about this movie, Kurt Russell had been in a couple flops right before this, you know? And he said, you sure you want me in your movie? And he goes, yeah, I want to work with you, buddy. So that's how he got him in the movie. And it was another flop. So congratulations. All right, Larry, after that little opening in the lawyer's office that got tacked on, then where do we go here?
We meet Jack Burton driving down. He's doing like, he's almost doing his own podcast over the CB.
Yeah. That's a cool shot, too, the opening. Like, they had the camera, like, you see the 18-wheeler kind of like dropping down below the road and then popping up through. Like, yeah.
This was
cool.
Shot by Dean Cundey.
He's very good.
He is famous. I know he's famous. Yeah. I don't remember why, but he's a famous, he might be an Oscar winner as far as like, you know, director of photography type of thing.
Probably for that shot. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it was for the he's just babbling on in his CB while he's eating a gigantic hoagie and shit.
I know. I thought it was great. And the name of his truck, Larry, Pork Chop Express.
Yeah. Just hauling ass on the front grill.
Yeah, there's like a silhouette of a sexy lady on the front of it, too.
Yeah. Listen, once again, like, I don't hate this movie. I'm not saying that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't hate it. It's not what I thought it was going to be. And what I thought it was going to be was funny. And it is not funny.
But when he's talking on the CV, doing his little podcast there, like you said, and that is a very good comparison. He's saying stuff like...
he's giving advice about how you, like, kick life's ass. Like,
remember
what Jack says. Jack says, you know, just whatever. Just tell him what the fuck and just go for it. You know, whatever the fuck. Then he takes a big bite of his sandwich and shit. But he's just, you know, he's a loser, though.
So you get the idea right on the way. He's like a blowhard. And, yeah. A fake tough guy, kind of.
Basically. Yeah, basically.
Yeah, they could have leaned more into that and given him some funnier things to say. Like, I get the premise of the character. It's a good premise, but maybe you just give him some sharper dialogue.
Yeah.
So, all right. So then I think he goes and this is when he meets his buddy. We meet his buddy Wang.
Yeah, they're gambling and shit, and I don't even know what the fuck they're. He got a big fucking wad of money, man. God damn.
I think they're playing dominoes, right?
I don't know if it's dominoes per se. There's something going on with dominoes where they're betting, I think, are evens or odds going to come up type of thing. They're not like playing dominoes or anything.
Yeah, because there was like a one guy was putting like a bowl over top of things and then taking
I don't know. I'm not good with gambling.
But at some point it's like a bottle thing where he's trying to chop a bottle.
Well, yeah, because Kurt Russell beats Wang for like $1,148 or something like that.
Yeah.
And so Wang says, all right, double or nothing. He pulls out a machete and he says, I'll be able to cut this bottle in half with this machete. Yeah. Yeah. And Kurt Russell says, yeah, you can't do that. You can't do that. So what happens, Jack?
He tries to cut it and the bottle just kind of flips up and Kurt Russell just catches it, and he's like, nope, you didn't do it. The guy's like, oh, it always works at home. Kurt Russell's like, well, maybe you should have me over for dinner sometime.
But the bottle shoots at his head very quickly, and he catches it, and he says it's all in the reflexes. And that's a very important, because that comes into play. Yeah.
That was almost going to be my quote, and then I was like, fuck that.
It's all in the reflexes.
There was a very classic, aw, shit, Kurt Russell has aw shit. Like, he does that. He does it Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That's like I love Kurt Russell.
Where does he say aw shit in this? I can't remember.
It's later on where he's laying. I don't know. I think it's one of the many fights, and I don't know. Somebody shows up, and he's going to get up off of the floor, and he realizes whatever the dude's there, and he's like, aw shit. You know, like more stuff. You know, I don't know. It was later on.
All right.
I started zoning out.
So Wang owes him money, and he says, all right, well, you ought to pay up now there, Wang. And Wang's like, I can't pay you right now. I got to go pick up a lady from the airport. Yeah. I got this. And Kurt Russell says, all right, well, I'll drive you there because I'm not letting you out of my sight until you give me my money. And so that's when they go to the airport. And I forget her name, the green-eyed Chinese girl. But she's coming in, and Wang's going to marry her, right? He's going to be his wife.
He's been saving all his money so he could bring her over to America.
Yeah. Well, you shouldn't be wasting your money on dominoes and whatnot. Then,
He lost a lot of money. Especially because later on he talks about, like, oh, I slept on the floor so I could save every nickel and shit. I didn't even buy a bed or anything so I could bring her over here. And it's like, you just lost $1,200 on evens or odds.
Well, actually, he lost 22 or 2,300 or whatever it is now, because he doubled it up, you know?
Yeah, he did. Yes, exactly. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the important part about the girl is she has green eyes. She's an Asian lady with green eyes, and that's that doesn't exist. It's like,
but is it really that important? Because it seems like at the end, any lady with green eyes will be good, you know?
They don't say that early on in the movie. Like,
I know.
They make it seem like it has an Asian lady with green eyes.
Yes. Yeah. They were a little fast and loose here with some plot points.
Because then the other thing comes down to is, like, at that point, you could probably just get a girl to volunteer that has green eyes, because there's somebody out there that would fuck that old guy and shit. They don't fuck.
Well, the problem is you have to sacrifice her. Like, you have to kill her. Like,
well, you just don't tell her that part yet.
He didn't have to kill her. At the end, he didn't have to kill her the way it worked out, because he was going to kill Kim Cattrall, and then he'd still have the other one to use for his earthly wife.
But
normally, you'd have to kill the lady.
I just at one point I realized, like, he's trying to push like a sewing needle through somebody's wrist, and I was like, I don't know what's happening with this guy.
Called it his love needle, and he had to put it in her.
He couldn't do it though.
Here's the other thing I didn't really like at the airport there. Well, they're waiting for the green-eyed girl. they see Kim Cattrall, and of course, she's waiting for somebody, and Kurt Russell wants to go over and start try to hit on her, and she wants no part of him, you know? And she's waiting to pick up another Chinese girl.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that. What was the point of this?
I didn't get it either.
Like, I thought it was going to be, like, they get mixed up, so, like, the girl that they want to kidnap isn't the one they get, and then there's going to be some sort of a switcheroo going on there, you know? But no, the other Chinese girl is completely superfluous. She has no impact on this plot whatsoever.
Yeah, I didn't get it either. Yeah. Maybe there's an aspect that they cut out, you know, because it was already too long or whatever, and they just cut her storyline out or something. Who knows? But yeah, I don't know. I think she's in another scene later on, right? Like,
yeah, she pops up briefly, and like she just pops her head out from behind the door, and Kurt Russell goes, "Oh, I remember you from the airport," and Kim Cattrall says, "Yeah, I was there to help her or something," and that's it. I was there to help her like get into the country or something.
She's been picking up like the reporter lady or something. At least try to work her into the plot earlier.
Yeah, the reporter lady just got shoehorned in there too. Yeah, that was. Like, why not just make Kim Cattrall the reporter all along? You know?
Yeah.
April O'Neil on things. That reporter lady just never really fit into anything. I don't know why.
She's not even there for the story and shit.
Oh.
I don't know.
She missed the thing.
Kim Cattrall won a Pulitzer for that.
Yeah. So, but Wang, like, knows who Kim Cattrall is. I guess she's a do-gooder in his neighborhood in Chinatown or whatever. Gracie
Law.
Gracie Law, yep.
That's a good Chinatown.
So, while they were waiting, a bunch of tough guys from a Chinatown gang show up at the airport. And
wearing those, like, absolutely stereotypical 80s sunglasses that have, like, the real, like, one looks like a Venetian blind, and one's got a triangle on one side and a rectangle on the other. You know what I'm talking about? They're made out of plastic and they're neon. One guy's like
swim duck, have little tiny slits for eyes.
Yeah, that one. That yeah, but like just real plasticky, garbagey, like exactly what like a Michael Jackson punk would look like in the 80s.
Yeah, Jank, you had to think these guys were pretty cool, Jank. You love all the 80s stuff.
Yeah, I was enjoying that game.
I'll be honest with you. I used to have a studded belt and pair of shoe pants.
I used to have a real thin pair of neon, I forget how I got them, like Chuck E. Cheese or something. I don't know. Real thin, like, neon sunglasses, and it just had one, like, black bar in the middle all the way across, like a Cyclops kind of visor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember in third and fourth grade I was wearing those.
It's pretty great. You're the punkest in the third grade.
So, so these Chinese gang, I thought, again, another problem with, I thought those guys were sent to the airport to kidnap the green-eyed Chinese girl.
That's what I thought. That makes sense.
But apparently that's not what happened. Like, they were there to just grab any girl. Like, uh-oh. And they initially grab the girl that Cattrall's waiting for. And then Jack Burton intervenes and there's like a big, and so they end up grabbing the other girl and they take her. So yeah, they needed a rewrite on this, like just to simplify things. And I don't know. None of it really made any sense. Cause later on we learn like the one guy just says, yeah, those guys are at the airport just on a joyride, like just picking up, grabbing anyone they could. So. Like that Eddie guy, the maitre d' from the restaurant or whatever.
Yeah, and they're grabbing girls for, you know, like sex trafficking and what have you.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
What they're doing here.
I don't know. Yeah, they should have been after that specific girl because she had green eyes. And that should have been what we're doing here. Yep. But anyway. So, I don't know. So there's a big chase. They got to try and chase down the girl.
Yeah.
And they end up in Chinatown, Larry.
Yeah. Yeah, like at one point, like, you know, the punks almost run Kurt Russell and his buddy over in the parking garage. So then they get into Kurt Russell's rig and shit, and they start going. But like this, we also meet, like, we see, what's his name again? Shen Egg or Egg Shen or whatever he's called. And he's driving his tour bus around, and him and Jack are almost on like a game of chicken down this, like, I like the sets of this movie, like the real narrow alleys. Like, I really like the scenery in this movie, but they play a game of chicken and don't they get a lead or something? Doesn't somebody tell them like, oh, I think the girl might be down this alley? So they go down like some alley.
I think just Wang just says, turn right down that alley, and Kurt Russell's like, what alley? He's like, right here, turn, and they just turn down the alley. I don't remember.
Now when they're driving, there's no back. They're not pulling a trailer or anything.
Yes,
it's the actual rig of the truck. And Kurt Russell drives it like it's a 69 Camaro. Like, he's just like, he's S-turning around like the bends at 72 miles an hour. And it's like, all right, I don't know. I guess okay. So. I really don't think you can drive a truck like that, but I don't know. So what do I fucking know? But they end up trapped down, like they're deep in the alleys of Chinatown, and there's like a funeral procession coming down the road, and then like a bunch of rival gangs. Just then, it's just 90 guys fighting each other, and I really didn't understand why at first, but they're just, it's like a gang fight.
Yeah, it's like guys with yellow bandanas versus guys with like red ropes.
Yeah, I like the red ropes guys.
And they were busting out machine guns right at the start and just like gunning each other down. Yet no bullets were hitting the truck.
Never.
Yeah. And, and the truck is like, that's the width of the alley is the width of the truck basically.
Mm.
And nothing was hitting the truck.
It is tight. Yeah, and then everybody's just and like, this fight goes on for a while. Like, it's good. I don't know how long it is. Like, I don't know, a day and a half. It goes on while you're watching, but like, they're snapping elbows and like, it's a little overly violent, I guess. Like, almost comically violent at times. And then these magic dudes all start like falling from the sky. Like, I don't know, like portals open up and I was like, I don't know what's happening right now. It's crazy.
Yeah. They're all dressed like Raiden from Mortal Kombat, the big hat. And,
I think one's called Lightning or Thunder.
They're the three storms, Lightning, Thunder, and Rain, I believe are their names.
That was Rain. Okay.
Yeah. But Jake, you had to love that. It's very comic.
That character. Yeah.
Very.
Yeah,
comic.
For sure.
So you can see how 11-year-old me enjoyed this. I was like, holy hell, this is awesome.
Once again, if I was a kid, I probably would love this movie. I'm 15.
Yeah. Yeah, but these guys come down and they're just wrecking shop. They're just dominating everybody because they're like superheroes.
Yeah, they're kind of superhero-y. Yeah. I don't know. Like exaggerated, I guess, at some point.
But anyway, you going to get one of those hats, Larry? I think you'd look good in one of them hats.
Yeah, it covers my face, so yeah, that's good. I help everybody out. I don't have to look at you, and you don't have to look at me.
That's good.
So then Kurt Russell just says, all right, let's get out of here, and he floors it down the alley, and then Lang Po, the maitre d' from that Seinfeld episode, is just standing in the middle of the alley, and he does
Lopan,
he does not move. He just
No, he does it, and then he just pops up around the back, and I don't know if Kurt Russell thinks he ran him over, so he gets out of the car, and then he all like deadlights him and shit. James Wong like deadlights Kurt Russell, but the buddy comes and saves him. He's like, oh, don't look into the deadlights, but he's like, I did already. It's too late.
No, Larry, say his name again. The actor,
James Wong.
It's Hong.
I think it's W-O-N-G.
It's
isn't
H-O-N-G.
It?
No, it's H-O-N-G.
All right. My bad. I thought it was James Wong.
I was very confused. I was like, am I saying it wrong? No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because I thought earlier on I corrected you, and I was like,
yeah.
I don't give a fuck if he says it wrong. I don't fucking care.
Well, James Hong is that guy, and then there Victor Wong is Egg Shen. So there's a couple other Wongs in this movie as well. Carter Wong plays Thunder. And Peter Kwong plays Rain.
God damn.
But, all right. So yeah.
James Hong,
just to clarify.
There's gotta be a James Wong, right?
I would imagine. Somewhere. Yeah. It's a big world.
This is James Wong.
So, but yeah, the James Hong fella, he opens up his mouth and like light comes out and gets into Kurt Russell and blinds Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
And, And Wang says, oh, don't worry, it's only temporary. Because I guess this is a common occurrence. This happens all the time.
Yeah, this is normal. So, like, he just takes him around the corner. Like, all of a sudden they ran, like, I don't know, 11 feet away, and now they're safe. And then he just throws, like, mud puddle water into it.
Yes.
And Kurt Russell's like, oh, that's good. That helped.
Now I got pink eye. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for that. This is great.
Yeah.
But, so they're trying to get away. They're just running all through Chinatown and stuff. And then it was also weird. They dive in like a window of some building, and then they shut the window. And then, like, Kurt Russell turns around. There's just another Chinese dude just standing there. And,
yeah, and like he puts his hand on his mouth.
I know. Like, wait, who is that guy? And why are you acting?
I was like, I think I missed something, but I'm not rewinding.
Why are they acting like they expected him to be there or something? Like, what is going on here?
I didn't get what was happening there either. Yanks, any idea what was going on?
It's very odd. Nothing.
Right.
But yeah, Kurt Russell just wants to get his truck and get out of there. Yeah, that's all he wants to do. Get his truck and get out of there. But I don't even remember how this whole scene ends.
Well, they end up at the partner's uncle's house.
The Chinese restaurant that he owns.
Oh, yeah, yes. They end up there, yeah.
But was there, like, how did they get from that building with that guy where they covered his mouth? Like, they just, was there another big chase or another big action scene, or did they just?
I don't remember.
I can't remember either. I watched it yesterday, and I can't remember. All right.
A couple hours ago.
So at some point, Kurt Russell and Wang go to Wang's family's Chinese restaurant or whatever, and Kurt Russell's wearing like some silk Chinese robe, and he's on the phone, and he's trying to talk to the insurance company about getting his getting his truck back or whatever. And I thought that was pretty funny because it seems like he's dealing with a less than reputable insurance company.
Yeah, I guess.
In the general.
Yeah. Save some time.
Q O'Neill would never represent a less than stellar insurance company.
So. Oh,
why?
I like to respect an insurance company that's run by a CGI character.
That is true. Yeah. Well, I don't know if he's CGI. I think he's just like fucking hand drawn cartoon.
So, well, they're Wang's dad or uncle, or her, I guess it's his dad, I don't know. He overhears their story of what was going on. He's like, wait a minute, you mean the three storms and all that stuff? Or you saw all that stuff? And he's like, nah, don't worry about it, Dad. It's not a big deal. And then Eddie, like the new maitre d' they have at the restaurant, he comes in and he's like an expert in all the local myths as well. And he starts talking about stuff. And then Gracie Law shows up.
She just
comes in like a little old lady. She's all bundled up because it's raining outside. And then she reveals herself to be Kim Cattrall.
Aha. Yeah. It's weird, like, even the rapport that Kurt Russell and her have is odd for two people that spent about 90 seconds talking in their lives.
It's that sexual chemistry, Larry.
He kisses Cindy Crawford and Billy Baldwin last week.
Oh, yeah, we watched the Fair Game last week, Larry, with Cindy Crawford and Billy Baldwin.
Yikes. And?
You get to see Cindy Crawford's boobs a little bit.
No, thanks. So.
I'll pass. How dare you?
She's the big trouble in Little China of ladies, I think. Want to like her. I should like her. Everybody else seems to like her, but I just don't fucking see it.
Well, you also get to see Billy Baldwin's ass.
Oh, well, all right.
Larry's back in.
Freak a little bit.
All right, so what's the whole thing? Gracie Lee just walks right into the back area of this restaurant like she belongs, you know?
So basically, I think she shows up and tells them, like, oh, basically what's going on is they kidnapped your girlfriend. They're going to fucking hook her out, basically. So why don't we come up with some, like, plan where we, like, see if we can just buy her back?
Yeah, because she's like, violence is not an option.
Yeah, and she was like, and they were like, oh, she's got the green eyes. Don't, they'll never sell her. But then Kurt Russell, so he ends up going to the fucking whorehouse all dressed up as like some, I don't know, he looks like
Poindexter.
A slinger. Yeah,
he's got big glasses on and his shirt's buttoned up, you know, and a tie and a terrible suit. And he's there to get laid.
Yeah.
Kind of dressed like White Shrewd a little bit.
Hey, but you noticed he didn't bring a bag of oranges with him, you know? And,
yeah.
Learned on the show. When you go to those kind of establishments, you should bring a bag of oranges.
Green eyes if you brought that bag of oranges.
Have any update in that capacity?
I have not talked to him. I have not talked to him.
That's
crazy. I know, it's sad. But yeah, what can you do? All right, so what were we going to say? Oh, yeah, so he's there to rescue the green-eyed girl. So he's getting in there undercover trying to find out. He's like, hey, I'd like to really be with a green-eyed lady, you know?
Yeah.
Got any of them green-eyed Asian ladies. And
the old maid running the whorehouse is like, oh, Asian ladies don't come with green eyes. And then she immediately, like, hits, like, a secret door in the – you know, she goes away from Kurt Russell, like, in the back room or whatever, and she hits a panel, and we find out, like, the green-eyed girl's, like, being held captive, like, in a secret passage in the whorehouse. They have her, like, tied to the bed and stuff. And then, like, isn't this where, like, the jackasses show up?
Yeah, well, Kurt Russell, they show him briefly with another lady, because, like, his whore is going to take care of him, and he's asking her questions, I guess, if there's any green eye. And then the three storms show up, and they steal
those guys.
Those guys are awesome.
Has, like, one of them has, like, looks like two back scratchers as a weapon. Like,
they have all kinds of crazy weapons.
Those bear back scratchers. And then the other guy just has, like, I don't know what it is, but, like, propeller hands. Like, he's got these weapons on his hands, like big spinning propellers. I don't know. They're cool.
Yeah, they're, like, attached, like, by rubber bands to his fingers. So when he puts his palms up, they're spinning around on his palms.
Yeah, like lawnmower playing hands.
Yeah.
And the first guy has, like, a big, I don't know, I don't even know what kind of weapon it is. It's like a knife, but it's kind of square. I don't know, but he's pretty good with it. I don't know. I don't hate these guys. They're fun.
Yeah, Thunder's like a big, bulky, heavy, like, wrestler kind of guy, muscle-bound guy. Rain is like a, I think he's the skinny guy with the long hair, maybe. And yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, it kind of remind me of like what were they called, like the hunters or whatever in Running Man. Yeah.
Oh, Running Man.
Oh yeah,
that's another movie I haven't seen since I was 11.
Oh,
that movie's great.
I love that fucking movie.
Yeah,
love that. Richard Dawson. I remember Richard Dawson. So,
yeah. I was just watching Match Game before I. It's on Tubi.
Hey. Did you watch that Fantasy Island pilot episode?
No, I did not.
Oh, man. Gotta watch that.
I forget. I always forget.
Bill Bixby murders a lady. Gotta watch that. It's unbelievable. All right, anyway. So, yeah, the three storms show up, and they steal the green-eyed girl. They want the green-eyed girl.
She's a unicorn. Everybody's trying to get her.
Yeah. So then Kurt Russell, that's when the green flames above the building, I guess, that they reference.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it was before that, but yeah.
So then Kurt Russell goes outside and he's like, yeah, they stuck her, whatever. They took that lady. So
then they concoct this whole plan about like, hey, let's pretend like we work at the phone company and we'll just barge right into the wherever. What are they at, the sewage plant or where? I don't even know.
Yeah, they know, like, these guys are with James Hong. They know these guys go with that Long Po or whatever his name is. Long Dong Silver, whatever the fuck that guy's name is.
Lo Pan.
That's what you ordered the last time from the Chinese restaurant. The Lo Pan.
Be fun.
So they said that this guy owns a bunch of businesses. They know he owns this one business. And, yeah, I don't know what it is either, Larry. I don't know.
Yeah, because, like, at some point you see, like, little statuettes and shit, and I was like, oh, it's a factory. But then later on, they're, like, swimming through this, there's, like, a fucking, for some reason, there's, like, a pool of water in the parking. I don't know what was, swim through it, and they're like, oh, we're in the sewage system.
Yeah, like, I think the idea is, like, underground in Chinatown, there's a secret world down there, you know?
It's just wackadoo down there. No, anything's possible. I gotcha.
And, like, this building has access to the underground world, you know? So.
Yeah. It's like Hogwarts with B.O.
old Jack Burton and his buddy Wang, they show up at this place, and they're pretending to be from the phone company, and the disguises are impeccable. They just walk in carrying a phone.
Yep, yeah, like old school at your grandmother's house with the receiver and the, I don't know if it had a dial or if it had the buttons on it. I don't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember. But yeah, he just walks in and says, yeah, phone company. Yeah. We'll take care of it. Don't you worry. And he just walks right past and they're in.
That's it.
Yeah. But they eventually find some elevator hidden behind some door and they get in the elevator and then the elevator starts filling up with water.
Yeah.
And then they get dumped out into like this underground lake with bodies hanging upside down, a bunch of dead bodies and everything. And
yeah.
And they pop up to the surface. One of them three storm guys is standing up looking down at them through a grate. So they capture them.
Uh-oh.
They strap them into wheelchairs.
Yeah, and then they take them downstairs. James Wong. Hong.
Hong.
James Hong. He comes out like all fucking looking like the granddad from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but with a lot of... I don't know. So he starts fucking... The three guys are fucking with Kurt Russell and the buddy. Like, they're kind of him up.
I think Hong's very funny here as like the, like he's a very smart ass old guy. Like he's so decrepit he can barely move, but he's cracking wise.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
He's a good time.
Yeah.
But this is where we find out that like the reason he wants the green eyed girl is because like, you know, basically, you know, he starts his life back over again. He gets his shit back.
Yeah. He's like sentenced. Well, he's old. He's in his, but he said something like the gods, sentenced him to like living his earthly life in his decrepit body. But if he marries this green eyed girl, once he marries her, then he kills her. He'll be able to be mortal again. And,
yeah,
he's like a 7 foot guy too. Like 7 foot tall. Cause sometimes, he's also throughout this movie, we get to see his like astral plane body as well. His ghostly version of himself.
He does kind of look like an old Asian version of Professor X. So it makes sense.
So, yeah, that's the whole idea here. To marry her and then kill her and then become mortal. Young and, yeah, vibrant again. So he can enjoy the pleasures of the flesh. Are there any?
I don't know. Who knows?
Ask the computer paper. It'll tell you details.
It's been so long. All right, so that's the whole idea here. And how did they get away, Larry? You remember?
Kurt Russell rocks his wheelchair over or whatever, and eventually, like, he works a knife out of his boot and cuts himself loose, and they get away that way. And then eventually he runs into, like, that big burly elemental guy, and that guy puffs his chest up real big, and Kurt Russell flies into the wheelchair and goes backwards down a ramp, and nobody even comes down to check as he almost falls in that well. At no point did the other two even fuck him.
He got it.
If he comes back, he comes back. If he doesn't, that's his fucking fault. Fuck him.
Yeah, there's like just a big well in the middle that goes in, I don't know, to the center of the earth, and he almost falls into it, but
yeah, it's deep.
And it looks like it's leaning back, like almost going in.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a weird scene. I don't know. It was whatever. But that's what happens. So now they're like, they're trying to get, is somebody leaving?
Huh?
Oh, it sounded like a door opened.
I didn't hear anything.
So, like, they're also, I guess, at the same time, they're trying to get out of this place, but also they're looking to get Kim Cattrall and shit, right?
Well, Kim Cattrall and her reporter buddy, she has a buddy, a reporter, and Eddie, the maitre d' from the Chinese place, they're waiting outside in the car. And I guess after a while, though, they went in because they were taking so long, they went in to check on them. So, that, like, they see security footage of them at the front desk. Trying to get in.
Oh, okay. Because they're all, like, they're in cages and tied up and stuff.
Yeah, they eventually get snatched or something.
Is that, so are they kidnapped? They're not in jail, right? That wasn't the authorities.
No, they were, like, the two women were kidnapped and put into, like, with all the ladies that they do the sex trade with.
Okay.
Like the pigeon coops or whatever. Yeah, chicken wire stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of deals. And they had Kim Cattrall tied up and gagged. Yeah. And I guess there was a scene they said that got cut where they, like, she was mouthing off to the guards, and that's why they did that.
Okay. Yeah.
So.
Where's Jank? Is Jank here?
Oh, yeah, maybe Jank left. Jank!
No, he fell asleep just hearing about the movie.
But yeah, that Eddie guy, they captured him, and they put him, like, they hung him on a hook somewhere, and they rescued him, I think, around the same time they did all that wheelchair stuff, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, who cares?
Father hung me on a hook once.
Once. On your... Johnny Dangerously is awesome. Mary Lou Henner. Hey, now.
Oh.
All right. So, I don't know. Yeah, so they got to rescue Gracie Law and her reporter friend. And there's more fighting. Oh, yeah. They beat up some ladies. Like, there's lady kung fu fighters. And they beat them up. And I don't know.
And so, like, they almost get out of the building, and then all of a sudden, like, Kim Cattrall's, like, I was, like, kidnapped by Bigfoot. I just saw, like, a hairy arm grab from, like, it was a very, like, Private Eyes kind
of,
like.
Yes, that's what I thought of, too, Private Eyes.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, they all get out. They make this daring run to get out of the building. They get in the Eggs tour bus or whatever. And, again, a bunch of people shoot machine guns at them. No one ever gets hit. Never. And then they realize, oh, wait, Gracie's not with us. Where the fuck's Gracie? And, yeah, this just hairy, like, orangutan arm grabbed her.
Yeah. Clyde.
Good looking creature.
See, I thought the creature was really dopey looking. So, wasn't a fan of him. But, yeah, this big monkey man guy, he takes Kim Cattrall down, and they tie her up, and it's the Three Storms again. They come down, and they see Kim Cattrall, and they're like, all right. Let's take her up to a low pan or whatever. Pan low or hang low.
Yeah. Hang low.
Her balls hang low.
She's got green eyes too.
Yes, exactly. Cause she looks like that other girl.
So now Jack Burton and then they got to figure out a way to get Kim Cattrall back. We got to,
While she's down there with old Hong though, like he deadlights her too.
Yeah. And then they go through this elaborate ceremony to, like, brainwash her. Now he's got her and the green-eyed Chinese girl, and he's going to marry them both. But first, before he can decide that, they have to put him through some ritual thing where the Three Storms each do a separate dance routine with a weapon.
Oh, yeah.
To hypnotize them.
The first guy's really good.
Yeah, he went on very long. His routine was very long. And but they both have to, like, grab these swords, right? And the swords levitate up to the sky, and then they have to, like, touch a light bulb in the ceiling. And somehow that means they pass the test. So he says, all right, I'll just marry them both. I'll kill Kim Cattrall, and then I'll be, when I'm immortal, I'll just bang the hell out of that other one the rest of my life. And that'll be great. So that's his plan.
Whenever Kim Cattrall had, like, the storm eyes, looking good. I like it.
That worked for you.
Yeah, that could definitely work for me. Like it.
So now they got to go rescue Kim Cattrall and the Chinese. I can't remember her name. Let's call her Debbie. But they got to go get Debbie and Kim Cattrall. And I don't. Yeah. So Egg Shen, he comes up with this elaborate. He has all these weapons and potions and stuff they're going to have with him. And they make him drink this stuff that makes them feel invincible.
Okay, because I started zoning at this point. Okay. Kind of looking at my tablet and shit a little bit at this point.
I was going to say, did that ever really come into play? Because it doesn't seem like Jack Burton's all that. But I guess Wang really becomes a karate expert then after he drinks that stuff. So
yeah.
I know.
Like Carrie's just doing all these gymnastic moves.
Yeah.
I know a floating head with a lot of like little eyes and shit poking.
Yeah, see, that's another one of those creatures that I did not like. I
liked it. It kind of reminded me of the Keiko demon from the Doom games.
I'll take your word for it. I have no idea
floating
what you're talking
head,
about.
Like, yeah.
All pops and buzzes. But yeah, it's just floating fleshy blob of just eyes. And
yeah.
Floating fleshlight.
But it's like a James Hong projection, right?
Well, it's like a spy for him. Like, he has a mind link with it. So whatever that thing sees, it can telepathically tell James Hong. So that's how he knows they're in the building then.
I didn't know what was going on with that thing.
But yeah, there's a lot of the journey inside there. Like, they're sneaking in with all these other gang members. I guess the same gang from the beginning of the movie, right? Like the good guys from that, they were now fighting with them. I don't know. But one of those guys just gets snatched by like this snake thing that comes out of a sewer pipe. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Sure. And,
there's a lot of gangs going on back then.
Yeah.
A lot of people dressing alike.
We should form a gang, Larry. You know?
Yeah. Well, are we for, since Tuffy's gone, do I make the third triangle of sadness?
There's always got to be three.
So it's a long time for them to get down underground and they, you know, fight
Tuffy's
people.
Not
and,
sad, right?
What's that?
Tuffy's not sad, right? He's got a good thing going on in his life.
No, he's miserable. Yeah.
Why?
He plays champions like 70 hours a day. He's terrible.
You would, yeah, I guess. You're miserable when you don't play 70 hours.
And I am miserable. Yeah, that's the point, though. I'm too miserable to even play champions.
I hear you.
There's just no,
is there a point?
Wait, is there a what?
Was there ever a point? Like, what is the point of getting up every day?
I like to take a nap later. That's why I get up.
Yes. You just wake up
forward to that.
First thing I think of when I wake up is, oh, I can't wait to nap later.
Ugh. Be great. That would be nice. Anyway.
So they get down there and they got to try and stop the wedding ceremony. And there's a giant skull, like a neon lights and a giant Buddha. It's quite the set down.
Yeah.
And, old James Hong. Oh yeah, James Hong, a trivia bit. He said, during this wedding ceremony, he's looking like his old, young self, you know, but he's still like a ghostly version of himself at this point. But how could he pick up the love needle then if he was still?
Yeah.
Very confused.
He's getting some of his fleshiness back as it goes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Or
coming back.
But he kind of like goes down this long, like this steep escalator out of the skull's mouth to get down to a stage. And he said that when they're filming that, he's standing on like 12 inch lifts to make him like 7 feet tall. And, he's like, I don't want to do that. I think I'm going to fall and kill myself. He's like, hey, can we get my stunt double to do this? And John Carpenter says, nah, we got to go. You got to do it. Let's go. So yeah, he just made him do it and he was terrified.
Oh, he didn't fall though?
No, he didn't fall.
That's good.
Yeah. So yeah, they have they're doing the wedding ceremony. He pulls out his love needle and he says, you got to poke you with my love needle.
Yeah.
And he seems to have to poke her a lot because like,
You go in, you go out.
He like pricks her fingers and like she's bleeding in the fingers. Then he pricks her wrist. Does he complete the ceremony? Yeah, well, yeah, he has to, I guess, technically. But he doesn't kill her, though. But he, because he is a fleshy body again. Because that's how they kill him, so.
Yeah, and, like, they're all going to kill him, like, because at this point, like, you know, fucking what's-his-name and all them show up, Kurt Russell and Egg Shen and all them, and they're like, you got to wait till it's completed. You got to wait, because they want to go kill him early, but you can't kill him early, apparently.
Yeah, because he's just like Shadow Cat, you know, you'll just go right through him.
You're still playing him. Snap?
I am still playing Snap, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I enjoy it. I don't play a lot, you know, I just do my missions.
Gives me the update every week on all the new characters they added.
Dude, they add like at least one character a week. And
but they're easy to get, though. You can at least get them pretty quick if you just
play. Some people will argue with that it's like if you haven't played in a long time later, they changed how you acquire cards and everything, so.
Oh.
Yeah. What like if you have a shot, you have to collect these keys. And like, it's a long story. I don't know. But hey, Larry, I did get that Venom, alternate card of him as like a heavyweight champion lifting the belt above his head.
Oh, yeah, that one's awesome.
Yeah, I got that. It's pretty cool. But anyway, so yeah, there's a huge fight scene here that goes on a long time. And Wang is fighting that storm guy with the sword. I think his name was Rain. And fighting him.
Russell, at the start of the fight, he like fires his gun up into the air, trying to be all cool and badass. And like pieces of the plaster then like fall on his head and knock him out for a little bit. And then, like, I think he finally does something where he kicks the guy like with a knife in his boot. And then he gets stuck in it. So he's just kind of like laying on the ground with this guy stuck on top of him for like the rest of the fight.
Yep. And this whole time, Wang is just kicking everybody's ass, doing all kind of flips and kicks and everything. And Egg Shen's got these little marbles he throws that like explode.
Yeah. He throws them at like the big stew and it like crumbles.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. So
part I found funny was towards the end here.
Okay.
The one scene where like, you know, when fucking Kurt Russell kills Hong.
Oh, you're jumping right to that?
Oh, no, I that's what I'm saying. My notes like tapered off. I don't know how far we are away.
We're not that far away. But I guess we should mention that Wang kills Rain. That guy's flying through the air, and Wang just throws his sword straight up in the air and into his belly and kills him. Hmm. And so, yeah, then they chase down. They eventually get to Hong, and he's got they had already freed Kim Cattrall at this point somehow. She had already been freed.
Yeah, so she's, I think, out of the spell and everything.
Yeah.
I get how they did it, though.
She, like, makes out with Kurt Russell a little bit.
Yeah.
She's got lipstick all over.
Yeah, and they said that wasn't actually planned. That was, they just did that, and Kurt Russell, they thought it was funny that he still had lipstick on. So, like, all right, let's just use that. And Kurt Russell was down for it, so.
Do you think he banged her?
Probably. I don't know, because it seems like Kim Cattrall, they said every day she left shooting at 4:30. Every day, because she went to, she was doing a play at the same time, a Chekhov play somewhere.
The guy from Star Trek?
No, he's an old playwright, Russian playwright. So, she said she had to explain to the movie executives who Chekhov was. But she said, did the movie just so she could fund her theater career or her performance, because otherwise she said she'd have to waitress and she didn't want to waitress. So that's how she did the movie. All
right.
But so it doesn't seem like she was around the set too much. So maybe they didn't get into anything.
Like, I don't know. I think
James Hong.
Yeah.
Do you think Kurt and Goldie Hawn have been like faithful to each other?
No chance in hell. Yeah.
No. I don't know. I kind of think they have. I've heard like all of them interviewed on like Conan, and it seems like they're very close.
Huh.
Oh, I will say this movie was released, and then like 8 days later, Wyatt Russell was born.
Oh.
So, look at that.
Man.
Yeah. All right.
In the world. Like, I think they all live on the same block still.
Yeah, but are they still together, though? I thought Goldie and him split a long time ago.
No.
They're still together.
Huh.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, then, yeah.
I was on Conan maybe 2 weeks ago or so, and talking about how they met and stuff, and like I was always looking. I was like, as like a divorced woman with kids, I was like, am I ever going to find someone who will love my kids as much as I do? And like immediately, like Kurt Russell was like, bam, ready to be their dad, and I was like, this is the greatest thing that ever happened to me.
Oh, like, well, wow. Then I thought they were separated for a long time.
Yeah, no.
All right, well then, yeah, let's hope that they were faithful all these years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still, I would have shoved two fingers right up
there. Calm down.
I mean,
all right. So, all right, Larry. So now we get to Hong, and he's got the green-eyed girl, and Jack Burton and Wang confront him. And what happens?
Well, he pulls a knife out, and he looks all cool about it. He grabs it by the blade, and he goes and tries to throw it at Wong, but he misses by a mile, and then everybody's disappointed. Like, even like everybody kind of like drops their head and stuff type of thing. And I thought that I laughed there. I was like, wow,
yeah,
that was funny. And like, even, you know, Hong picks up the knife. He's like, oh, this is a nice knife. And then I forget how Kurt Russell gets it back. And then he does plug him right in the forehead with the knife.
Yeah. Hong gets the knife and says, says something like, okay, now it's time for you to die or whatever. And he throws the knife. And a call back to the bottle scene at the beginning of the movie. Kurt Russell just snatches out of the air real quick and just whips it back at him, hits him right in the forehead and kills him.
Yeah. Is that what you say? It's all about the reflexes?
It's all about the reflexes.
But then he goes like this. It's all about the reflexes.
Whang!
Says whang right after that. It's pretty awesome.
Reflex is only child.
Do you think that's a real thing, though? Do you think somebody could throw a knife through somebody's head like that?
Yes.
All right. Like through
yeah, I could do it.
Head. Yeah, I think so.
All right. Yeah. The philosophy. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not saying it couldn't. I couldn't do it for sure.
Yeah. Kurt Russell can do it.
Well, he's a badass.
But the minute Hong dies there, all the like the Buddhist statues start tumbling into each other and collapsing, and it's like, everything's gonna die now. And
one of the heads starts swelling up like he's got elephantiasis or something.
Yeah, Thunder, because Thunder's gimmick was he could like swell his chest real big. So he sees that Hong is dead, and he like gets so sad, he just starts swelling up, and Wang
turns into Garfield kid, basically.
Yeah. Garbage Pail Kid, yeah. He's like, I don't think he's going to stop. And yeah, this is one of the vivid memories I have from watching this movie as a child. And he just keeps swelling and swelling, and then boom, blows up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cool. I liked
it. He blew up into just a big, it was just garbage, though. Like, you know.
He's a Garbage Pail Kid.
Lettuce. Yeah, it was just, I don't know, whatever.
So they're running down, and then they run into Raiden, the lightning guy.
Raiden wins.
And they start fighting him. They get away from him. And there's a scene where they got to go up through the hole in the ceiling. They're like, all right, just jump through the hole. What? How are you jumping through a hole in a ceiling? Like, how low are these ceilings that you can just jump up there? And kind of weird. Yeah. But they get through there. And then the lightning guy, he's very slow, apparently. But he is trying to chase after them. And but then Egg Shen drops a Buddhist statue on him and crushes him.
Wouldn't you think, though, that James Hong would have he's the final boss, not Lightning?
Yeah, it was interesting the way they structured that, but Hong's death is so cool, though. Like, it was so sudden and unexpected. It was pretty awesome. I really liked that. Yeah. So, it's fine. And so they get out, and hey, everyone's happy.
Yep.
There you go. And that's it, right? Well, we get a final scene then at the Chinese restaurant, or they're all saying goodbye. This was great. Yeah. I thought this was great because Kim Cattrall's like trying to hint, like, hey, maybe we can get together there, Jack. Jack,
why don't you get a bigger truck that has like an apartment for two in the back?
And Jack Burton's like, nah, I always rub people the wrong way. It wouldn't last. Don't worry about it. So he just turns to walk away, and that reporter lady says, aren't you even going to kiss her goodbye? And Kim Cattrall's looking at him with, longing in her eyes. And he looks at her and he says, nope. And he just turns around and leaves. That was awesome. I love that very much. And then we see Jack Burton driving in his truck again, Larry, the Pork Chop Express. And he's on a CB cutting another podcast.
Yeah.
And he's just talking shit. And then what do we see though, Larry?
And like there's a big monster underneath the truck, and you see like his arm come out and his head pops out, and like, all right, I don't know, here we go.
Yeah, it was that same guy that grabbed Kim Cattrall earlier, because there was a scene in that big fight at the end where that monster pops up again, and he tries to grab him, and Russell just kicks him in the balls.
Okay, all right. I didn't know if that was the same monster or not.
Yep, same guy.
I don't know why he didn't crumble like everything else did, like.
Yeah, so there you go. That's how it ends. But I loved it.
Like, you still loved it, though, or you loved it?
Well, it's impossible for me to see it as anything other than what I, you know, as nostalgia and all that. Because I loved it when I was a kid. Thought it was so cool and so funny and so awesome. So watching it now as an adult, I remember it being, you know, that. But I'd still enjoy it if we were just watching it. But I wouldn't love it as much. Because, there's a lot of plot holes, like a lot of the writing, especially at the beginning, was just oddly cumbersome.
Mm.
Yeah.
And, I didn't like the creatures. Like, Jank, I did not like the creatures.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. That's probably the strongest part for me, more so than the writing or the story, for sure.
I thought Kurt Russell was awesome.
Yep.
I think he's great. Kim Cattrall was very good. Wang was cool. He's a good dude. James Hong was good. So, yeah, I liked it, Larry. I liked it.
I get it. I get it.
Did we miss anything? Any final thoughts on the...
No, I don't think.
All right, so what would... Oh,
huge
go ahead.
Thing. I don't know if I totally understand why after seeing it. Wait. I think it'd be a little funnier.
Oh, that was funny. I liked it. So, Jack, what would you give it 1 out of 10 on a... How should we do this? Because I guess it's considered a bad movie. So, all right, a bad movie scale, 1 out of 10?
It's pretty good. It's got some weak points. I'll give it a 7.
On a bad movie scale.
Yeah, it's fine. We've certainly done way worse. Kurt Russell brings some star power to it. Makes it, you know, a lot more tolerable.
Larry?
I like the performances from the actors. I like the sets. I like the score. I thought the special effects were kind of cheeseball, and I don't like the creatures either. Kurt Russell's great. I love Kurt Russell. I'd probably give it like a 6. I don't know. It's just clunky.
All right. I'll go 8.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I figured that was coming.
Yeah. So that bad.
Big Trouble in Little China. There it is.
That's longer than the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Larry, top 11 Kurt Russell movies. Go.
All right. We'll just go quick. Number 11. We mentioned it earlier. I just want to get, he's not huge in it, but Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, because I love that movie. I mean, he has a small part in it, but he is the narrator, so technically he isn't a lot of the fucking movie.
Hey, it's omnipresent.
Yes, that's a fucking lie. I love him, though. I love the scene with the Bruce Lee and Zoe Bell and all that old fucking thing.
Yeah.
Where she's like, what the fuck did you do to my car? And like, what the fuck did you do to her car? I love that whole fucking, well, you're a fucking loser, wife-killing buddy. I don't know. He's really good in that. All right, number 10.
Decided you're in my mom's car, vroom vroom.
I'm in my mom's car. Get out of my car. Aww. I miss that. I had the other day, you know, like Facebook, like, hey, 12 years ago this happened. It was a Major Minority sent me a video of his kid doing that, like him and his kid enacting that video. And he sent it to me.
That kid's probably in college now.
Yeah. He probably makes more money than me.
And me combined. So, yeah.
Right.
All right. So, number 10.
Number 10, The Hateful Eight.
Never saw it.
You would hate it, I think, Mike Dell, but I love that movie. Jank, do you enjoy this one?
Yeah, it's pretty great. Walton Goggins is in there. He's amazing.
My girl's in it, the Dorothy Parker, right?
Yeah, yes. Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Yeah, Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Right. Samuel L. Jackson is in it. Like, it's good. Like, you know, but you know, I know you hate Tarantino, and
they do.
They throw the N-word around a lot. I like it though. I do like it. It takes place basically in one room. You know what I mean? The whole movie's almost in one room, and it's I just enjoy it.
Type thing where there's a bunch of strangers locked in a place, and you know things are going to happen, but you don't know exactly who's all.
Everybody's cautious about everybody else, and everybody's on edge, and it's just, you know, it's fun. Number 9, Death Proof.
Never saw it.
Yeah, it's pretty solid. He plays like a guy called the Stuntman, and I don't know. It's, you know, once again, another, you know, Tarantino or whatever. I really love Tarantino. I don't know if you...
I had avoided that one for the longest time, but then I watched it. I'm like, this is actually pretty solid. Like,
same with me. The same with me. I was like, I just watched it, I don't know, maybe a year ago or so. But I never... Because I think I started watching the other one with Robert Rodriguez... I don't know what that
was. Is that the one with What's-Her-Face has a gun for a leg?
Yeah. And I was like, fuck this thing. And then so I was like, I'm not even going to watch the other one. But, yeah, Death Proof's much better. I think
it's a classic you know, Tarantino dialogue. It's fun.
Who is that girl with the gun for the leg? She's on Charmed.
Sorry, or, you know, Rose McGowan.
Rose McGowan, yeah.
Yeah.
Holly Marie Combs.
Number eight, we got Backdraft.
Never saw it.
Keep in mind, too, these aren't like, these are my favorites. I'm not saying these are his best movies.
Hey, that's Billy Baldwin in there, too, right?
Yes, it is Billy Baldwin. Him and Kurt Russell are like brothers who are firemen, and there's some shady shit going down with arsons, and De Niro plays like the arson investigator. He's really good in that movie, too. It's a very solid movie. I don't know. I like it.
It was very popular when it came out. I remember everyone was going gaga over the fire scenes.
Yeah, because the special effects are really good in that movie, especially for that time.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, realistic. Jank, you see Backdraft?
You know what? I never actually have.
Yeah, it's good. All right.
Get on that.
Number, what are we at? Seven here. Escape from L.A.
Mm. Yeah. See, that's one of the ones I've seen, and we loved it here on this show.
I love this movie, yes. I do love
so
it.
Ridiculous.
Larry, were you here when we watched it? I can't remember.
I might have been. I don't know.
My my favorite scene, without a doubt, is him surfing.
I was gonna say it was not Dennis Hopper, Peter Fonda.
Yeah,
yeah, that's crazy. I do love that movie though. I love the basketball scene. I don't know. It's just so over the top. It's cuckoo.
That movie's great. Yeah,
Bruce Campbell was great. Where he was playing like the plastic surgeon.
Oh, he's awesome. Yeah, the Surgeon General of Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's awesome in that movie. Number six, I got Miracle. Miracle.
Oddly enough, I've never seen that movie.
Wow, that movie's I know. So good.
You think that would be like one of the ones I would absolutely have seen.
He's so good in that movie.
Plays Herb Brooks, coach of the 1980 Olympic team.
I highly recommend watching Miracle. It's really an awesome movie.
He has that famous speech, right? That scene where he gives the speech to the team. And
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but tonight is our night or whatever he fucking says. I don't
know. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. What is the line? It's something about there.
Quack. Quack.
No, he didn't say quack, quack, quack. Something like they'll beat it. You know, if we played him a lot, they'd probably beat us all, but not tonight.
Yeah, nine out of 10 times. Yeah. You gotta watch it, Mike, though. You'll enjoy it. Number five, The Best of Times.
This might be number one on my list. I loved this movie when I was a kid. It was still so great.
A movie. It's on, I don't know, I watched it probably a year or so ago. It's on Prime or HBO or something, but I love this movie. This is basically, it's Kurt Russell and Robin Williams who were like, they both played on the high school football team and, you know, big game on the line and Kurt Russell's the star quarterback and he fucking throws a fucking, you know, 60 yarder down the field to win the game to Robin Williams and Williams drops the fucking ball and it basically ruins both their lives. So as like middle-aged men, they decide they're going to fucking replay this game and they get all the teams back together. But as much as it sounds about football, there's not that much football in it. It's just more about like the, you know, Robin Williams is like a fuck up and he's a fucking, you know, he's a loser and Kurt Russell's a fucking loser. And I don't know. It's funny. I love that movie.
I fucking loved it. Yeah. And at the end, the best is because they're playing the final game and it's raining and it's muddy and everything.
Yeah.
And but they're losing it. But at halftime, Kurt Russell goes in there and he puts on his white cleats.
Yeah,
white clothes. He's wearing it, and then so he walks out wearing his white shoes, and everyone there's a hush falls over the crowd. He's wearing his white cleats. He's got his white cleats, and it's so great. Jack, have you seen it, Jack?
No, I never even heard of this one.
Oh, it's fucking good. It's good.
Yeah, so, yeah. Russell Williams. It's a good time.
Yeah, that's on the best.
Number four, Tango and Cash.
I've actually never seen this.
Tango.
Terry Hatcher's in it, right?
Yeah, she's in it. Yeah, she plays Stallone's sister in that movie. Yeah. Yeah, Robert Zadar is in that movie.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
We've encountered Robert Zadar a lot on this show.
Yeah, he's in there. He plays a big part in that. Jack Palance, though. That's what I was doing. Tango. It's basically the odd couple, but they're cops. You know, that's all that's really going on.
They get thrown in the slammer?
Yeah, they get framed. Yeah, Jack Palance is, like, framing them and shit. It's a good time.
Hey, I thought of another trivia note about Big Trouble in Little China for just popped in my head. This has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but you might find it interesting. They had to rush production on that movie because they had to get it out in the theaters before The Golden Child with Eddie Murphy.
Oh, right, I've never seen that either.
But I guess it deals with similar things like Chinese mysticism and everything. So, like, we got to hurry and make sure we get this out before Golden Child.
They out.
Somehow Tango and Cash made me remember that. Sorry.
She's like, oh, that's a good movie. Number three, Overboard.
Yeah, see, I've seen this. I saw it when I was a kid. Him and Goldie Hawn, right?
Yep, him and Goldie Hawn. She's like a fucking rich bitch. He comes and does work for her on her yacht and shit. And I forget, somehow she fucking gets amnesia. She falls overboard, but I don't remember how.
Was it because he was, like, painting the ship or something, and, like, one of them deals with a ladder, and he turned it around and knocked her in the water?
I don't remember how she falls over.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
But anyways, like, she's such a cunt about everything, and she won't pay him and shit, so he finds out she has amnesia. He basically kidnaps her and makes her, like, his slave at her home, and with all his kids, he's, like, a bum and a loser. And
doesn't he say that she's his wife?
Yes, yeah, yeah, so, yeah, he says that. Like, but, you know, and it's funny.
Because what's funnier than amnesiatic rape?
yeah, for sure. Like, he abuses her mentally and shit, and I don't know, but whatever. It's a good time. Loser, yeah. Some plates. Number two, Escape from New York.
Never seen it.
Yeah.
Never.
So good.
Oh my god, I love it. If you like Escape from LA, Escape from New York's way better.
Yeah, isn't like Escape from LA more like a real, like a serious movie though? Like, isn't, or is it still as campy and weird as LA?
It's not as campy for sure. It's
less campy than LA, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So more serious. It's one of those movies, it knows what it's doing. It knows what kind of movie it is. So right. it hits all the right spots.
Weird cabby.
Yeah, Ernest Borgnine's good in it.
Remember Ernest Borgnine said the secret to a long life is he's jacking off every day a lot?
Yeah.
Oh. Because I haven't found that. I really haven't. Okay, here we go. Number one. Any guesses?
Yeah, like, if I think my favorite Kurt Russell movies, Seems Like Old Times, Big Trouble in Little China, and I'm done. So, well, Escape from L.A. So, it's really... I do have another movie that I know is not on your list, Larry, but did you ever see... Well, I know you haven't seen it, because we've mentioned it before, but Bone... What is it? Bone Saw?
Tomahawk?
Bone Tomahawk, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't watched it just because I hear, like, there's a real graphic scene in it, and I'm like, oh, I'm...
Yeah. It comes at the end, like, they cut a person in half.
Yeah. Oh, like, it's at the end?
Yeah, it's in, like, the final 15 minutes.
Yeah. You can watch the first three quarters.
It's a very good movie, though. It's very good.
What is it about? Is it a Western, or what's going
on? Yeah, kind of like a Western. They, I think some Indians kidnap somebody, and they're, like, sent out a party to try and get the person back. I think, I don't know, I can't remember if it's a lady. It has to be a lady, right? It's always a lady in these situations.
Yeah, I would imagine.
And it's like the movie's just like their journey trying to get to the Indians, and then in the final like 15 minutes, shit gets weird. Yeah. So.
Okay. All right. Okay, here we go. Coming in at number one, It's Not the Thing.
Ooh, It's Not the Thing.
Wow. Oh, okay.
The cut.
Yeah.
That hurts.
Coming in at number one, Tombstone.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's the one I had. Yeah,
you not love Tombstone.
Well, here's the thing about Tombstone. It's if you look at it like it's not technically a good movie, but it's awesome.
It's an awesome. I'm not saying it's a good movie, but it's a movie I'll watch 1,000 times.
Yeah,
I fucking love it. I mean, he's awesome in that movie. You know, Val Kilmer. We've talked about Val Kilmer 700 times on this movie.
Doc Holliday. I'll be your
Huckleberry. Yeah. and Kurt Russell's Wyatt Earp, and apparently Kurt Russell basically directed that movie, I guess, and all that kind of shit.
Who's the girl? Dana Delaney, right?
Dana Delaney. Yep.
But yeah, it's a great, like, but it's not like a, you know, Oscar worthy or anything like that. But it's
but it's cool.
Awesome. Yeah, because Doc Holliday is just so amazing. And
Val Kilmer, it's Val Kilmer's absolute greatest performance.
It is so great.
He's just the best in it, and Sam Elliott's in it, and Bill Paxton's in it. It's a good time. Billy Zane shows up in there.
Oh, I forgot Billy Zane.
It's pretty sleeve. And then fucking Michael Biehn and Powers Booth, man. Oh. It's like the Cowboys. They're so fucking dickish. That movie's just so fucking great.
Johnny Ringo, right?
Johnny Ringo, he's so good. Michael Biehn is so good in that movie.
Jank, you've seen it, right?
Yeah, it's been a long time, but yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in probably, wow. Again, I'm so old, so probably 20 years. I don't know how long it's been.
Look like someone just walked over your grave.
But yeah, it's very good, though. Yeah.
Fucking Tombstone. So yeah.
Larry, huh?
What's that?
You don't like The Thing?
It's okay. It's kind of like same with the, like, I like it better than I like Big Trouble in Little China, but I don't want to watch any. I saw it once or whatever. It's fine.
I like it. It's solid.
Yeah, it's solid. Yeah, it's solid.
Jank, any other Kurt Russell films that you can think of?
I know he was in that Santa Claus movie that I never saw.
I almost put that on the list. The first one's really good. I really like the first one. The second one I didn't love, but the first one's solid. It really is. The Santa Chronicles or Christmas Chronicles, or it's called something like that, but I enjoyed it.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Never heard
It's a Netflix. He's Santa. He's like he's a curmudgeonly, grumpy Santa. And two kids end up like, they get inside his sled and he ends up like, I don't know, some fucking, you know, misadventures. I can't remember the exact entire, I only watched it once, but it was good. I liked it.
Well, according to Rotten Tomatoes, Kurt Russell's highest rated films, number one, Bone Tomahawk, 91%. Number two, Escape from New York, 88%.
Nice.
Number three, Swing Shift.
I haven't seen that in so long. I think Goldie Hawn might be in that, too.
Yep, Goldie Hawn. During World War II, a Navy wife helps the war effort by taking a job in the local aircraft factory.
I've definitely seen it, but I have not seen it since I was probably, you know, 10, 15 years old.
Number four, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Nice.
Number five, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, the Ego, the living planet, right? That's basically what he wants.
Yep.
Number six, Grindhouse.
Yeah.
Number seven, Deepwater Horizon.
I didn't see
that. Oh, yeah, I saw that, I think.
Mark Wahlberg is in it as well.
That's why I didn't watch it. I didn't know Kurt Russell.
Number eight, The Barefoot Executive from 1971.
No.
I guess it's like a Disney thing, right?
Is that Robert Redford, too?
Oh, it's got a monkey in it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's about a chimp that becomes an TV executive, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We're watching the shit out of this, if I can find it somewhere. Harry Morgan's in it, too.
Oh, nice.
Number nine, Furious 7. He's in the Fast and the Furious stuff.
Oh, I didn't know. Oh,
yeah, I think I heard about that. Never saw it.
Number 10, The Thing.
There we go.
Number 11, Breakdown.
That was another movie I was going to bring up. That just
missed. Oh, okay. Yeah, this is the one where his wife goes missing, and then he gets... See, I saw the original film. Like, this is based on some, like, French film or whatever.
I think that's... You're thinking of something else.
Really? Isn't this the one where his wife goes missing, and then he gets buried?
That's The Vanishing.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's not what this is?
No, I think this one is, like, his wife gets kidnapped at a fucking gas station or a roadside diner or whatever. I don't know if this is the one where she's buried there, because there's another movie with Jeff Bridges. This isn't – Jeff Bridges is fucking with somebody, and I think he buries the wife. I think this one is the one where she's just kidnapped. They might have her in the trunk of a car or something like that. I don't remember.
Because it seems like the same exact premise.
It does.
The movie I saw.
Our premise is, yeah.
But at the end of the one I saw, he's the guy that gets buried. Because he's like, I'll show you what happened here, you know, you experience.
Yeah, that's the one. He makes him like drink the coffee or whatever. And,
yeah. And he wakes up in a coffin underground, like he's buried underground.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah, that's The Vanishing.
Okay, who's in that? Jeff Bridges?
Yeah.
I'm looking it up, The Vanishing, from like 1993.
Yep.
Yeah, Breakdown's 97.
Okay, Vanishing is, what's his name, Kiefer Sutherland, I think, and Sandra.
Yes! Lee. Yeah, Kiefer Sutherland, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the buried one. Yeah, this one I think she's just kidnapped.
So it's the same premise except for the
buried. It is. Which one was out first? Breakdown?
Yeah, Breakdown is 97. So
it's one of those movies, though. It's very well done. It's intense. Like, you're always, like, kind of, like, you know, tense throughout the whole thing, you know, trying to get a resolution of some sort. But it's an intense movie to watch. I don't know.
All right, Miracle was 12. Now You See Him, Now You Don't, 1972.
Never heard of it.
Science student at Medfield College who inadvertently invents a liquid capable of rendering objects invisible, I guess. Used Cars, 1980.
I remember that movie, but...
Robert Zemeckis' pitch black satire of American culture. Doesn't always hit the mark, but it's got good enough manic comic energy.
I think when he goes to the whorehouse, he kind of dresses like that in Used Cars.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That reference, and I'm like, I don't know if that was right or not, but I'm pretty sure he kind of dresses like that in that movie.
Silkwood, Meryl Streep, the whole radiation, Karen Silkwood. Hey, Big Trouble in Little China is number 16, and Backdraft, The Hateful Eight. Tombstone, number 19 on the list.
Wow.
Unlawful Entry.
Yeah, there was a couple. There's five or six of those movies.
Ray Liotta, Madeline Stowe. I never saw that.
I saw that one.
Sky High. 2005.
The kids movie is.
Disney, like superhero school type thing. I think They Might Be Giants had a song on the soundtrack.
You and your fucking name might be giants. Good lord.
You're not the boss of me now. You're not the boss of me now.
The Fox and the Hound. I guess he was a voice in there. The Christmas Chronicles, number 23.
It's solid.
The Fate of the Furious. Wow, he's in a couple of those Fast and Furious movies.
Yikes.
Christmas Chronicles 2. Oh, Goldie Hawn's in those with them, I guess.
Yeah.
Or at least she's in number 2 with them.
I don't think she's in the first one. Yeah. If maybe right at the end for 10 seconds.
I'll be honest, looking through this list, I think I've seen the best ones, you know? Escape from L.A. hasn't even been mentioned yet. Oh, there it is, 32 on the list.
Where's Best of Times at?
Oh, that's right, what the fuck? How's Best of Times not on? Tequila Sunrise, I remember that one. Michelle Pfeiffer, right? Mel Gibson.
I hate Mel Gibson.
The Computer Wore Tennis Shoes, it's another one he made when he was a kid. Overboard is 36th. Oh, he's in Vanilla Sky. I did not know that.
I don't remember that. That movie sucks dick.
The Best of Times is 40.
That's weak.
29% on Rotten Tomatoes?
That is ridiculous.
That's insane.
That is stupid.
It's one spot ahead of Tango and Cash.
What?
But wait a minute. How is it? Tango and Cash has a 31% approval, and it's 41. It seems like Best of Times is 29. And it's at 40.
Is this like box office or?
I have no idea. I thought it was by tomato ranking, but apparently it's not.
Huh.
3,000 Miles to Graceland.
Saw that. I hate all this.
Captain Ron. Martin Short.
Is it Martin Short?
Yep, Martin Short, Kurt Russell.
What's the one with Chris Elliott?
Cabin Boy.
Oh, Cabin Boy. That's right. Yeah.
So, well, that's pretty crazy that Tango and Cash and Best of Times are that low on his list. Because he only has, like, 45 movies. He's got 46 movies listed, and they're in the 40s. So, that's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, there you go. Kurt Russell. Or tribute to Kurt Russell.
Good dude.
Yeah, he seems like a nice guy. I don't know.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that? There's a documentary. His dad played. Does dad play baseball, or his dad was a? But there's a documentary called "The Beautiful Bastards of Baseball" or something like that.
Okay.
And it's about his dad, and Kurt Russell's in it, and they just I can't remember if his dad was like the manager of the team or the owner of the team. I think he was the owner of the team, this minor league baseball team, and it just tells about the history of the team and stuff. People apparently love it. I started watching it one time, and when I was watching those 11 movies a week, you know?
Yeah.
And I just, I watched like first 10 minutes of it, and I'm like, I'm sure this is fine, but I just don't feel like watching it, so I just turned it off. But,
yeah. There's also a story about, like, I guess at some point when Kurt Russell was a kid actor, he was doing something with Charles Bronson, and apparently it was Charles Bronson's birthday, so Kurt Russell brought him a gift, and apparently Charles Bronson just like kind of took the gift and left. So Kurt Russell was like, oh, I don't know, I didn't know what the fuck to do, whatever. And then apparently like the next day or whatever, Charles Bronson showed up at Kurt Russell's dressing room and said, hey, he's like, I bought us some skateboards. And apparently, like, what he said was, like, I don't know how to accept the gift. I'm sorry. I just left or whatever. And so, like, I guess he's like, here, I bought us skateboards. And he said, like, from that point on, him and Charles Bronson just skateboarded around the movie set all over the place.
That's pretty fucking awesome.
Everyone, like, the security guards and the studio executives were telling him to stop skateboarding. He's like, fuck no, we're skateboarding. And they just skateboarded.
Bronson said it's okay.
That's an amazing story.
Yeah.
Wow.
Charles Bronson, who knew? How about that?
He's fucking doing grinds on rails and shit.
Yeah.
Pretty great. So, all right. Jack, you got a game?
Okay. Yeah. So the last time we did the obscure kind of 80s and 90s music or TV show trivia, that was, you know, a game Mike Dell was the Vegas favorite. But this Man, one, I'm going to put the...
Did I win? I don't think I did that well. Did I?
You got one.
I think we only got the answer between us or something.
No, I think Mike Dell got the only answer. It was the first one.
Yeah.
It was shut out the rest of the time.
All right, nice. It whooped your ass, Larry.
Yeah. 1-0.
Yes. That 1 point was all you needed. But this one, I think I'm going to give Larry probably the slight advantage in this one.
Uh-oh.
But,
about porn.
This is a music, a kind of alternative music based game. But it's not, I didn't scour the earth for like obscure answers here. We're getting these answers from a young Kevin Jank because I pulled out the old papers for all the cassette tapes I made of like taping things off the radio.
So, oh, wow.
Nice.
These will be actual songs that were on the radio.
I remember taping, like the last song I remember taping off the radio was "Wood" by Alice in Chains.
Oh, nice!
I love that song.
I remember staying up late to watch Friday night videos so I could tape Ghostbusters by Ray Junior off the TV. Box up the TV because I knew they. And plus, you know, you got a little bit of extra with the video footage. And you will.
Yep, I did that sometimes too. Never sounded great, but you still had it. I did that with a lot of, like, Simpsons songs. I would hold the, you know, the thing up to get the song. But they finally came out with the CD, like, eventually. I was like, oh, this is the best.
All right. So,
I'll read you song titles, and you tell me the artist.
We taking turns, or are we buzzing in, or what are we doing?
Good question. Let's buzz in. I think that's probably... It's fair.
All right.
So this will probably be a lot of 90s stuff. These were recorded generally in like the 94 to probably 2001 range.
Ooh, that's mine. Just missing my window, because once Cobain...
I am crushing balls in this era.
Once Cobain died, I kind of turned off music. So if this would have been from, like, 90 to 94, I like my chances, but no.
Keep in mind, this is, you know, that doesn't mean all these songs came out during those eras. Okay. Especially being an 80s kid, like, a lot of them will be 80s songs, so... And early 90s will be in there, too, so... Right. Could be anything in that range. All right. So first one here, we got Rush.
In the song Rush?
Yep. The song is named Rush, yeah. Well, I can hear it in my head, but I can't.
Rush for a change of atmosphere. That song?
Yep, you got it.
I don't know who sings that, though. I don't know.
Oh, fuck.
As the neighborhood. Feel it.
Any hints, Jack? Any hints?
If you would have said Rush, I would have said Paula Abdul, but just I don't know. Or if you wanted to name a song from the band Rush, I could easily do that. But
You'd be lucky.
Are these are they British?
Yes. Yes, one of the members of this band was in The Clash previously.
Yeah.
That doesn't help. The
their initials are bad.
Fuck, what is it called? Because I love The Clash, and then that... Yeah, Rush.
The Kinks.
No.
The Jack.
Big Audio Dynamite. Big Audio Dynamite.
Yep, nice.
Oh, yeah, now I remember that band. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. China Girl.
You can't bang after 92 clues in an hour and a half. That's all I'm saying.
China Girl. Is that David Bowie?
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bang. All right. No clues on that one.
You can bang that one. All right. Here we go.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. Gone Away. This is a Kevin Jank one right here.
Oh, then it's got to be They Might Be Giants.
It is not They Might Be Giants.
Gone Away.
No, Gone Away.
I got nothing in my head. Like, I can't even hear it.
I can't hear it. I don't know what it is.
Ooh.
Far of it, Jank.
Yeah, you got to sing it, Jank.
And it feels, and it feels like heaven so far away.
Oh, look at Jank bringing it.
Oh, that's The Offspring.
Yeah, nice. I had to fucking know.
This is the kind of Jank one.
It feels. You weren't singing it hot enough for me, Jank.
That is so cold. Yeah.
I gotta tell you, Larry, this Jank is a man of a million talents. On Flea Market Fantasy, he's like Rich Little. He does all these voices for the characters. And then he comes on here, he sings like an angel.
Well, we could sing. Let's have a sing-off.
I'm good.
Let's have a musical episode.
Pitch Perfect.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
I get Vienna Kendrick. Finally. Go ahead. Next.
All right. So next up, we got Time Bomb. This is an easy
one. Black coat, black shoes, black hair, Cadillac. Yeah, the boys of Time Bomb. Is that Social D?
Ooh, no.
Okay. Is it the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones?
Ooh, no.
You want to just keep guessing? Do we just keep getting guesses? Or?
Oh, I thought we were just... I thought it was just a
fake. Yeah, I don't know.
It was six.
Yeah, I don't know. They probably suck, so... Yeah,
oh, get out of here.
Scott sucks, dude. What are we doing?
You guys give up?
Yeah.
Cherry Poppin' Daddies.
No.
No.
It ain't, man.
Right. The answer was Rancid.
Ah, dude, I probably would have got there at some point. I probably would have.
Yeah, maybe.
Through all the options, yeah, you get there eventually.
Yeah, like 20 minutes from now, but still.
We would have lost 1 year of our lives, but
that's what we got. Do we have a score or anything?
Right now it's 2-1. Mike Dell's winning.
What? That's ridiculous. All right.
All right, next up we got Oh Yeah.
What's my 1,000 songs called that, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't know.
Macho Man. Oh,
very famous.
Oh, yeah. Bum, 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 bum. That song?
Bum, bum.
That song?
Yep, that's the one.
Oh, is that Yellow?
Yeah, nice job.
I've never heard of Yellow in my life.
I don't either, but sure. I
just, yeah. All
right.
That's all you need. Oh, this could be, this came up on the show recently, so Mike Dell, you might have a chance here. Got Dancing with Myself.
Billy Idol.
Yeah, there you go.
I was going to say Bowie again.
Yeah, yeah, Larry, they're going to use that that song for a little Mogwai dancing in Gremlins 2. He was going to be dancing to Dancing with Myself. Couldn't get the rights to it, so they didn't use it.
Aw, that's terrible.
Yeah. Larry, did you like Gremlins 2?
I don't remember it right now. Does it have something to do with like an office building or something?
Yes. Yes.
I don't remember it. Is it good?
No, it sucks, but Cenk loves it.
It's amazing. Me and Tuffy were all over it.
Oh, that's right.
Smithy movie?
Wait, what was that, Larry?
Does it take place at Christmas again?
No.
Okay. I don't remember it. I don't.
There is a mention of, some terrible things happening on President's Day. Or Lincoln's birthday.
It's terrible. It's a terrible movie. All right, next.
All right, next up we got Laid.
Oh, James.
Nice.
What the fuck is James?
That's the name. I don't know, James.
You probably heard that song.
I think you're so pretty.
What year did that come out?
Whenever American Pie came out.
British?
Yeah.
I know. I don't have any recollection of that song, and I never heard of it. So they're a band called James, or it's just one dude named James?
I think it's the band.
Yeah, the band's like named James, yeah.
This bed is on fire with passionate love. Playing about the noises above. But she only comes when she's on top.
Oh, okay. I've heard that. Then. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're so pretty.
Well, I don't know who sings better, Larry or Cenk. It really is a toss up.
Larry, take it.
Yeah.
Got that falsetto.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Larry has tied it up at 3.
Nice.
Next up, we got Freak.
Freak. Is that Korn?
Ooh, no, that's probably Freak on a Leash.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking. All right.
Is it Scott Steiner? Where are all my freaks at? Holler if you hear me.
I don't hear you.
It is not.
I don't know. How's Freak go? She's a freak. Yeah.
Body and soul. I'm a freak. I'm a freak.
I don't know that song at all. I don't think
that sounds like late 90s bullshit to me.
That sounds like techno horseshit.
Yeah. They're Australian, I'll give you that.
Men at Work,
Silver Chair,
Modest Mouse.
It was in fact Silver Chair.
Oh, nailed it.
Silver Chair. It's not even the song about the water or whatever.
Yeah, the song about water. I have no idea.
Tomorrow.
Like your main song. Like, don't they say something about drinking? Don't drink the water at some point.
Yep.
How did their main song go? What was it called? I don't remember.
It's called Tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
All I remember about Silver. The only concept I have of Silverchair is I think when Foo Fighters first came out their album, I heard someone mention Silverchair, and they were from Australia around that same time, and that's all I remember. That's all I know about them.
Oh, I always remember watching that video and like, oh, this is what happens if Hanson wouldn't shower.
Yeah, they were considered like the young up and coming like post grunge band. Like they were kind of like.
They were like 15 or so, I think, when the first album came out.
They're like the New Mutants version of Grunge's X-Men. They're like supposed to be.
Yeah. They had some good Good albums. Those first couple ones are pretty solid.
It's Silverchair.
Can't believe you got that Silver.
Well, if he went and said Australia, I only know two bands from Australia: Men at Work and Silverchair. That's all I got. So.
All right. All right. Here we got Where Have All the Cowboys Gone?
Paula Cole.
Nice.
Don't fuck with Larry and Paula Cole.
That song sucks. I hate that song.
I used to love it.
What?
Can't say I've listened to it recently.
You were that concerned about cowboys?
Where have they all gone? I have misplaced my cowboy. All right, closing time.
Semisonic.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah, I know the song. I never would have got the band, though. So get on, you Larry.
Okay, this next one, this is a twofer, two songs in a row. So this will be easy. This is a call, and I'll stick around.
Foo Fighters. This is a call is one of my favorite Foo Fighters songs. It's so good.
Hell yeah.
So good.
Clearly, this is where I got the album from the library and just taped them on there. That's why they're both.
Everlong or This Is a Call? They're the top two. One of the two.
Ooh, Everlong's pretty tough to beat. Yeah. All right. Next up, we got Seether.
Oh, Veruca Salt. Fucking love Veruca Salt. Yeah. A couple years ago, I remember I boxed down in the basement at night to exercise. I just put on random. I had a run there, Veruca Salt. I just putting on Veruca Salt. Yeah. So,
they were great, yeah.
They had a couple of really decent songs. Do you remember that they had a video where like they're at a kid's party? Do you remember this, Jake?
I think so.
I can't remember what the song was, but I enjoyed it. I can't remember what it was.
I know there was one there, like they're jumping. They're doing a lot of like jumping and like bungee things.
Yeah, they had like a couple actually good songs. So,
yeah.
That's a great name for a band too, Larry. Right? Veruca Salt. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good choice. All right. Next up, we got Teen Angst, parentheses, What the World Needs Now.
Oh, no.
World Needs Now.
Is another folk singer. Like, I need a hole in my head.
Is that
oh, it's fuck.
Early 90s, 93-ish, that area.
Yeah, I know. And as soon as you say the band, I'm going to want to punch him in the jeans because I hated these fuckers.
I don't know this song, I don't think.
I know the song.
How's it go?
I don't know what the world may need, but a V8 engine's a good start for me.
I have no idea.
Trying to find a place to be surly.
It sounds like... I'm just going to take a guess just by your voice. I'm going to say the band is Primus.
No.
Ooh. No, you're not too far off, I don't think, but no, it's not.
You got a very Primus-y, whatever that guy's name is, Les something or something.
Les
like that.
Yeah, there
you go.
Yeah.
I have no idea then.
I don't have got to say a big brown beaver and shows off to all our friends.
Is the band name four letters?
No.
Okay.
Is it 19 and a half letters?
Are they from Australia? Because it might be Silverchair. Yeah, I know. I cannot think of who it is, though.
They're slang for white people.
Honkies. Cracker! It's Cracker.
Yeah, there you go.
To be with you, girl. It's like being... I gotta write that down. Hold on.
Why?
Always like, there's like, that's the type of shit I'm always looking for. Like, songs I used to love 20 years ago that I've kind of forgotten about. And when I'm sitting on the porch and I'm drunk and I was like, listening to the music out there, like that's gonna go into the rotation now. Cracker.
Cracker? Is going into the rotation?
I love that. Just that song, Love. I don't know any of their other or his other stuff or whatever, but. I like Low. That's a good song.
You too. I just wrote it down.
All right.
Add it in.
I drink a lot.
All right. We're going back to the 80s on this one. Life begins at the hop.
Life begins at the top?
At the hop.
The hop.
Maybe 79 or 78.
Life begins at the hop.
Yeah. British band.
Sex Pistols.
Nope.
Life Begins at the
Kind of like the 80s Beatles, almost.
The 80s Beatles?
The 80s Beatles? Menudo?
They're British. British Menudo.
They're very British.
That's all.
Ricky Martin is so British.
He's super British.
Lost me with the 80s Beatles and the songs from 1978. So that's very
Duran Duran.
Ooh. Nope.
I love Duran Duran.
Me too.
I have no idea what song this is.
Yeah, I don't know yet.
Ooh, it was XTC.
Oh, Dear
God. Does everybody Lance listen to XTC?
Is that Dear God?
Sure is.
Dear God, I hope you got the letter. And that's a very good song. That's a very song
fucking blows.
Why does that song blow? That's not blow. I love that song.
That's the worst.
That's the worst song. You know what the worst song is? It's motherfucking Tom's Diner is the worst song.
I loved Tom's Diner when I was a kid.
That fucking song. I fucking
Suzanne Vega. Loved her.
I'll take a swing at her if I ever see her. Punch her. I'll grab Bruce Big and just hit Suzanne.
What was that? What'd she sing about that kid who lives on the second floor?
Is Luke.
Luke,
he lives on the floor.
I live upstairs from you.
You stay away from Luca, Larry. You stay the fuck away from him.
I will stay way away from Luca.
All right.
All right, this is an easy one. Talk, talk.
Yeah.
Is this thing on? Talk, talk.
No idea.
Yeah. All you do to me is talk, talk. Talk, 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 talk.
What the fuck is going on? Went from like songs to I think this is. Did Pete write this one? Is this Pete Yank?
Pete, no.
The way you sang it, it makes it sound like it's from the 80s.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sure.
And British.
Yep.
And
nailed it.
And synthesizer-y, I'm guessing.
You'll feel stupid when I tell you the answer.
Depeche Mode.
No.
The band is called Talk.
You're so close.
Talk, Talk is the name of the band. Bang.
Yeah.
All right. I never heard of that at all. Larry, any record? Did you ever hear of a band called Talk
never
Talk?
Heard of, yeah. Nope. Never heard of either one.
She did that song, It's My Life, that Gwen Stefani ended up like covering way later on.
Yeah. I know that song.
Yeah. I feel like Talk Talk, that song was in like cell phone commercials and shit.
All right. Well,
oh, no.
I am such a big fan of cell phone commercials.
I watch them on YouTube incessantly.
All right.
All right, next up we got Runaround.
Oh, Blues Traveler?
Yeah.
Nice. I hated them so much. Fuck
I John fucking Paul. Hate Blues Traveler. God damn, they were
Hey, those like two songs were all right. I like that.
That girl is kind of cute in that video. Remember they had the videos kind of like, Wizard of Oz-ish kind of inspired? And the girl that played Dorothy was, do you remember this?
I don't remember the video. I don't.
All right, fair enough.
We'll see if you guys remember this one. This is one of my favorites, but I don't know if it really got a whole lot of airplay. Disconnected. This is like 1994, yeah. Right?
Disconnected. How does that go? Because I might be able to pull this out if you sing it.
You don't know a thing about me. Is there something that you should know?
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you what you want to hear.
Okay. Not only do I not know that song, but I would like to punch whoever wrote it.
Song. Is that the chorus?
It's like the verse.
Yeah, it cannot be the chorus. Yeah,
let me hear the chorus part.
The chorus is like, No, you don't know what you ought to care about. You don't know what you want. It may take you years to find out. You don't know what you need. Something that they never caught to you.
All right, yeah, that's enough.
Oh, Hank, I like it, though. You did a good job singing it, but I don't know. It sounds like the way it's working.
Listen, Jen could sing a phone book and bring it to life. Don't worry about that. But I don't know who or what that is. Yeah.
Face to face.
Still don't know who or what that is.
Nope.
Oh, they're good California fans. Really good.
Never heard of them.
All right, here's an easier one. Lump.
Rump?
Lump.
Oh.
President of the United States of America.
Yep. There you go.
Give it to Mike Dell. Give it to Mike Dell. I could have just said pot USA, but I didn't say it.
What was that? Peaches. Remember peaches?
Yeah. I was just thinking about the other day at work, I kept singing lump. I swear to God, it was just this week because my boss was there and I just kept saying, lump's head of lump. And like, by the time I left, she had the song stuck in her head and she was like, fuck you, Jerry. And I'm like,
ready. It's gone viral. All right, song for the dumped.
What?
Probably Cure. You're
sad.
Probably
the, sad back
be
then?
The Cure. It's got to be the Cure, right?
Yeah, it sounds Curie.
Is it?
Actually, it's not at all. Totally opposite. It's kind of a goofier song.
Song for the
Weird Al.
No.
Hey, Larry, the other week on the show, Jank did his top 11 least favorite Weird Al parodies?
Parodies.
Yeah. What came as your least favorite?
Trash Day from Poodle Hat.
Trash Day from Poodle Hat.
What is that parodying?
It's a parody of Hot in Here.
Oh, trash.
Just like there's something rotten here. You better hold your nose. And there's like some annoying woman that's like that comes in.
That's awesome.
It's not good at all.
That's cool though. I like it.
Yeah, it hurts my soul to listen to that one.
About the Pentiums, where's that rank? Because I love that song. Cool.
Yeah, that one's great. That did not make the bad list.
All right, good. What you want?
Way up.
All right, do we have any more songs? Or are we done?
Wait, song? You guys give up songs for or song for the dumb?
Yeah, we don't know.
I have no idea.
Give me my money back, you bitch.
Yeah.
No. Ben Folds.
Ben, I hate Ben Folds.
Five. If I had a million guesses, I would never come up with Ben Folds 5.
But if I had a million guesses, I would use them to beat Ben Folds 5 to death. I hate Ben Folds 5.
Why do you hate?
I don't know. They're just pretentious douchebags, right?
Yeah. Ben Folds 5? No. I don't know. It wasn't really that pretentious. It was usually pretty goofy. Maybe other than the Brick song like about abortions. Maybe that one's not quite the...
Well, there you go. That sums it up beautifully, I think. Yeah. All right. Next.
All right. Next up, this could be an easier one. I want to be 500 miles.
The Proclaimers.
Yeah, there you go.
See, that's not fair because Larry loves Friends.
They're from Friends?
Isn't that a Friends song?
No.
I don't know. Who are the people that sang the Friends theme song?
That's
Rembrandt's.
Yeah, the Rembrandts, that's it. Yeah.
How the fuck do you know who sings the Friends song? I don't know who sings the Friends song. Who are the Rembrandts?
They're very good.
I never heard. Alright, good job on that, Mike. You don't get a point for that, but good job.
You should get a bonus point, but I will not do it. Alright, what about Rock and Roll Lifestyle?
I doubt I know this. Is that
rock and roll high school? I know.
Rock and roll lifestyle. How do you afford your rock and roll lifestyle?
When I, When I left the house twice today, I felt like I had a rock and roll lifestyle.
You were so close to that casino.
That would have been a way better story, Larry, huh? If I just went into the casino and like hit a jackpot or something. And,
yeah, or even just interacted with another human being. $5 down on a, you know, I'll just throw $5 down on number 19 and see what happens.
I'll workshop it. Next week we'll come back with a better version of the story.
Yeah. Next time you're up here, just throw $5 on 19 on the roulette wheel and see what happens. 1-9. See if 1-9 pays off or not.
What is that? Would that be black or red? What would that be?
I don't know. One of them, though.
I think red is odd, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't
care. Got a 50-50 shot at it. So we'll just say it's a red 19.
That table.
Yeah.
All right. How many more we got left here, Jake?
Well, that one was cake. We'll just do, like four more.
Four more. Final four.
All right. South Central Rain.
Pass.
19 looks red. South Central Rain. Is that a real song, though? Like, is this something that would have been on the radio?
Yes, this is definitely, you would have heard it on the radio. It's not a, it's one of those confusing titles where I don't even know if they ever say it in the song.
Oh. Montel Jordan.
This is how I do it.
No idea.
Uh-uh.
This was one of those early REM songs.
Really? Because I used to be a huge REM fan and I never heard of this song.
I'm sure you have, but again, it's like they don't really say it in there. Honestly, every time I like, think of it, I can't remember what song it is until I like play it. I'm like, oh, yeah, this one.
All right, Jake, you're going to have to sing it.
I honestly can't remember. Like I said, I have to go in and play it. It's like, oh, yeah, that's the thing.
Fair enough. All right, next.
All right, December.
Oh, Guns N' Roses.
No, I think that's November Rain. You're thinking of Rain.
December. Oh, is that, they sang like, complicate this world you left for me. Yeah. Is that that band?
Yep, sure is.
It's not, they're not called, they're not Soul Asylum. They're,
No, don't wait.
The fuck is that name of that band?
If me I shine, man, man, tell me what will I find?
Yeah.
What
the hell?
I can't remember what
it's called. Oh, heaven let your light shine down.
That song.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait a minute.
You better let it shine, you better. I can't think of that band's name.
All right, I know that song, but you said it's not Soul Asylum.
It's not Soul Asylum. It is not.
No. You're very, very warm, though.
Yeah.
Collective Soul.
There it is. That's it.
Yes.
Held it.
Yeah.
Good job,
Larry. Perfect.
All right, State of Love and Trust.
Stone Temple Pilots. No, Pearl Jam. What the fuck am I talking about? That's my favorite Pearl Jam song. I don't know what the fuck.
Someone said smells like Teen Spirit. REO Speedwagon.
Yeah, I don't love Pearl Jam, though. That's my favorite Pearl Jam song. I don't love
I didn't even, I've never heard of that song. So.
Yeah, you have. I can't even do it because it's just mumbling. They all sound like.
I'm not a big Pearl Jam guy.
Yeah, I'm not.
You know who likes Pearl Jam? Becky Lynch, the man, loves Pearl Jam. Big Pearl Jam. Well, Becky Lynch, but me, not so much.
They're fine. Like, problem.
All right.
Let's see if I can find some good ones on here that'll. Some stumpers.
We're down to the final one. This was supposed to be the fourth one.
Calm down.
Okay. You gotta find a real good one then.
So help me, if it's They Might Be Giants.
I only know the Malcolm in the Middle theme song. The only thing I know they sing. I don't know their stuff.
Oh, this is a good random one. I'm going to test you guys on this one. Six Underground.
Six Underground?
How's that go?
Take me down 600.
That's okay.
Beneath your feet. One, two.
I have heard that. So. I have no idea though.
I would have definitely known this 20 years ago.
Like 1997 for sure would be on the tip of your tongue.
Portishead. It's not Portishead.
Yeah,
sure, I can like though for sure. I can definitely see that vibe.
Yeah.
Johnny.
Concrete Blonde.
Oh.
Oh, I like Concrete Blonde though.
600. I don't know. I can't remember.
Ooh. It's a cool name. Sneaker Pimps.
Oh.
Never heard of them.
I remember that song for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, is that it? Did Larry pull it out there at the end? I think.
You guys both tied at 9.
What? Well,
we got to have
Yeah, I guess we have to keep going until someone gets one, then, right?
Overtime.
Point six underground down. All right.
I would really appreciate if you picked a song from one of the two bands I know.
I don't think the White Stripes were active here, so that really narrows the options.
He knows the scores too.
98. They were doing shows in 98, so.
Nobody had heard of them. That's a good one here. A good tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Ooh. That's too easy.
On the show where Jake reads things.
Yeah. Let's do less.
It's one of our most popular segments. All right, well, I guess it's a tie.
We tied.
No shootout. They lost the pucks. Can't do a shootout. Yeah.
Referees, what do you mean pucks? I don't know what you guys are saying.
Like, remember when the NHL had ties, Larry? Wasn't it great? I loved a good tie. I just liked a good tie.
I did not because, like, I understand it, but it got to the point where it seemed like they were always tying, and it was getting boring.
I liked the tie. It was nice.
All right.
It's a 3-3 tie. What can you do?
Jacob Trouba is a douche.
All right, so nothing? We got nothing.
Really? Even while we vamped for 45 seconds, you can't find a 90s song to just ask.
Okay, we'll try this one. This is another out there one. Novocaine for the Soul.
Oh.
Flaming Lips?
Ooh, no.
Oh.
It's like Novocaine.
How's that go, then? Novocaine for the Soul. I'll know this.
For the Soul.
I actually know this song.
Butter out.
Fucking hell. it's not like Three Doors Down or something, right?
It is not.
No, pretty simple. Pretty simple band name.
Novocaine for the Soul.
Oasis.
Silverchair. That's not, I don't know. Yeah, I know the song, but I have no idea.
Cool, okay. It was the Eels.
Yep. All right, yep. Well, I kind of got it, so I guess
I mean, you kind of
got it.
I said yep as soon as he said it, so that means I got it.
Oh, all right. Mike Delwin.
That's a good one. This is a good tiebreaker, I feel like. Ready to Go.
Oh, that's a
Publica.
Yeah. Larry takes it.
Good job, Larry.
That girl is amazing hot in that video.
I know, I was going to say that. That's a really cute girl jumping around. Yeah. Like, saying,
that hair.
I just want her to know I am also ready to go.
I doubt it.
But, here you go.
So, all right. Well, good job, Larry.
Yep.
Squeaked
out the victory.
Yeah. Anything else to discuss here, Larry? Wrestling. You've been watching the wrestling.
Just the pay-per-views.
Hey, did you watch that Backlash in France? That was crazy.
Yeah, the crowd was awesome. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
That was insane. How about when Jade Cargill at the end there was flipping Kyrie like a pancake? She was just flipping her all around.
Yeah,
that was nuts.
Yeah.
Hey, Asuka's injured. Did you hear that?
For reals.
Yeah, for real. Like, I guess her knee. She's been working injured like from since before WrestleMania. And I guess that's why they had him drop the belt. So she,
that makes sense.
They're going to let her take a rest here. But, you know, she's 42 years old now, Larry, you know?
Yeah.
We need to protect the Asuka at all costs.
I hear you.
Yeah. Trying to think of any other big, champions. They released
the. Back on that porn career, though.
She never did porn.
It's real close. It's very close to porn.
That's what they did. If you're a Japanese lady wrestler, they made you do these things called Grava or something. They have a name for it. But basically, they just get in bathing suits and they pose seductively. And
it's a little more than that. Tomato, tomato. You call it what you want. It is a version of porn. It's not going to be on Pornhub or nothing, but... It might be on Cinemax at 2:30 in the morning.
It's pretty great. But Larry, champions, they released the 6-star gold.
Yeah.
Yep. And you took up your Macho Man Hall of Fame already, the 6-star gold.
Yeah. Nice. He's at like 38,000 or something like that.
I took a zombie Asuka up to 6-star bronze, so at least I got all my Asukas at 6-star now.
But, nice. Yeah.
I'm 10 shards away from getting blue Asuka to silver.
Silver.
Yeah, and it's taking me fucking forever to get those shards. It's ridiculous.
Play all day, like just do it one day.
Just so hard to get those shards. Like you just have to open up these random bags and hopefully you get it. It's so bullshit. I don't even want to talk about it. But anyway. But are you enjoying Champions, Larry?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not enjoying it. It's the same shit, you know. I dropped $40 today.
Holy fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want to get fucking red and yellow fucking Hogan, and I might not ever buy him. They'll never give me him. He's not even good. Just fucking give him to me, for fuck's sake, man. Anytime he's in that basket, I always go for it. I never get him. And I know when I get him, I'll be like, I don't know, he kind of sucks. Because, like, even when I look at these tier lists, they got, like, Hollywood Hogan is, like, maybe the number one purple dude. And I'm like, I have him, and I think he sucks. I don't even fucking
know. Yeah. I don't know how they do those lists, because some of them just don't make sense. Yeah.
I don't get it, because I don't know. I don't know what to do with Hogan. Maybe if I get, like, 3 belts on him and 25 medals or something, maybe he's good, but I don't know. I hate it.
Yeah, so, like, how are we ever going to get those tokens? Like, the tokens you need to go to gold, like, if not for a normal wrestler, not a Hall of Fame guy or something.
Yeah.
Like, you can, like, buy one of them in the store for, like, 250 million coins.
Yeah, I hear you. That's ridiculous.
This fucking game.
I hear you, dude. We'll never do it. Like, never a regular guy. That's what I'm saying. Get yourself a... Find yourself a Hall of Famer or something and at least get that guy up. Because those tokens, you can buy those in that fucking showdown shop and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You to get to. I don't know. At least you'd have somebody to go.
Then you need the shards, though, too, you know?
Yeah, you do.
That's a pain in the ass.
It's all a pain in the ass. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I hear you.
But, like, I got this last thing. I got... I moved Macho Man to gold, but then I moved up like Cowboy Bob Orton.
He's very good, right?
Oh, he's so good. And I moved up Almost.
He's good too. I don't have him, but every time I fight him, he like it's tough to beat.
And John Cena, the Ghostbusters. I moved them all up to 6-star silver.
He can also be ridiculous, John Cena, Ghostbusters. Like,
yeah, I have him set up where he does. He does that, like, you know, countdown jams, and then you get the bonus points. So every turn he takes $5 million off.
That's insane.
It's awesome.
Fucking hell.
Every turn he takes off $5 million points.
Like, did you do the? Did you see they released that new tour in Survivor Series, like the Red Tours? You know,
I did not see that. Like recently,
like a week or so ago, they released the new tour of Survivor Series. But when you get to like, I cleaned out this normal version. Then you get to the hard version, like the second match on there. You got to fight that Wes Lee guy from NXT.
Oh God,
he is so good, and you have to use a powerhouse. And I don't have a really great powerhouse. I got like Randy Orton. WrestleMania, Randy Orton, you know, and he's okay. He's not that great. So I can't beat him. So I'm trying to work on another power. So I'm working on that powerhouse, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, you know?
He's
pretty good. So I'm getting close to taking him up, but that Wes Lee is so fucking good, man.
He is hard to beat. Luckily I got Stone Cold Steve Austin and just stomp a mud hole in those motherfuckers.
Yeah, I knew
that. That Red Austin does not fuck around.
Yeah, I've never really even seen him.
I can do, by the second turn, I'm doing about 11 million damage every turn after that.
That's absurd.
I know.
Does he count as Attitude Era, I guess, right?
Yes.
Because I need someone good in the Attitude Era. I have no one in the Attitude Era.
Yeah, he counts as Attitude Era. He's just a ridiculous idiot.
Fucking hell. All right. What else, Larry? Anything else you've been watching lately? Or
I started watching Fallout. Did you start watching?
Oh. I don't know what that is.
It's a show on Amazon Prime based off the video game Fallout. But
oh, okay. Right.
I've never played the video game Fallout, and you don't need to play the video. It's basically about, a nuclear war, the apocalypse, and all that kind of thing. And it stars Walton Goggins.
He's so good. He's amazing in everything he does.
He is really good. And it's basically like, I don't know. It's kind of like a Mad Maxian sort of world that they end up living in after the bomb goes off. And it's like Walton Goggins plays a thing called, like, I think they call him the Ghoul or something like that. But he was like a cop, a dad, and the bomb went off. And it, like, you know, they were far enough away where he lived, but he's all like, he doesn't have a nose. He just looks like a walking skeleton. And there's like a girl who's also got her whole storyline going on, like trying to survive in these worlds. There's like this whole underground society and there's an above ground society, and the underground people are all clean and they stayed away, and the two worlds don't mix, but they end up mixing, and there's a guy in a robot suit, and eventually they all come together somehow. I've only watched 3 of the 8 episodes, but it's really well done. Especially, I love the first episode. It has a really nice, like, kind of like a WandaVision-y feel to it, where it's very 1950s nostalgia, but done in a, like, very, like, 4K look, like, through Technicolor. I don't know. Just the way they did it, it looks really awesome. I really, like, it's very good. But, like I said, I'm only, maybe not even halfway through it yet.
Yeah, you'll probably put this out. I think, isn't Kyle MacLachlan in there too?
Kyle MacLachlan is in there, yeah. Yep. He's like a leader of one of like the underground pods. There's like different, it's kind of like Hunger Games. Like, I think he's like the leader, like the number 32 pod or something. But he's pretty cool. Like, he's kind of like, he's real calm and spiritual and shit. He's pretty awesome in it. It's fun though. It's interesting.
All right.
Yeah. We watched The Jinx in anticipation of The Jinx 2 Electric Boogaloo, but we haven't watched The Jinx 2 yet.
You hadn't seen The Jinx the first time around?
No. Nick and I, no. We never bothered watching it. So we watched it, like, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks ago. We just watched it all in, like, one weekend.
That was like, pretty great, right? Like, the end where he's in the bathroom talking to himself and the microphone's still on.
Oh, they got me. Whatever. Oh, gotcha.
That was great. Yeah.
So yeah, there's a second one now that they just is on HBO currently, but we're just waiting till it's done and just binge it all in one day again.
Yeah, I've still been watching a lot of Love Boat.
Love. Well, that's what I was saying. Match Game like 1970s is on Tubi if you want to watch those. They're fun. You know, yeah, with Charles Nelson Reilly and what's the other one's name?
I don't know.
His buddy that always has the glasses. They're always on together. Charles Nelson Reilly and Gene. I don't think
I haven't seen that show in so long. I can't remember.
Whatever. But she's on there and Fanny Flagg. It's fun. They have Mel. The ones I was watching today had Mel Tillis on, and he like stuttering like an asshole. It's pretty awesome.
When I was a kid, I loved Mel Tillis.
Yeah,
thought he was hilarious.
So yeah. There's Tubi's got a lot of stuff. I've noticed they're hitting the commercials much harder than they used to. They're more frequent than ever, but I get it. They're definitely longer too, but they have a lot of good content on there for free.
Yeah, Big Trouble in Little China is on there.
Yeah, I guess so.
Take the good with the bad.
Take the good, take the bad.
That's the second time. Like, Jack, didn't you make a Facts of Life reference on Flea Market Fantasy?
Yeah, I sure did.
I've just been watching a lot of Love Boat, and that's about it. That's all I watch.
Like, do you have cable?
Yeah, but like I watch the hockey game tonight, and then I watch stuff on YouTube like hockey podcast or something. I pay for YouTube, yeah.
Like it's like $18 or $19 a month type of deal.
I think it's $12 a month. And
I do that too.
Well, I don't get the TV channels or anything. Like I just get like so you don't have ads, you know? Cause,
okay, like, but what I was going to ask was. When you pay the $12, do you get like a higher quality stream? Does it still look shitty as it would? Like it doesn't look better since you're paying. They don't give you like a faster.
I never thought it looked shitty to begin with. So
yeah, I mean it depends on whoever is shooting this stuff and what their camera resolution.
It just looks like TV when I'm watching it. So
So now what were you meaning by I don't get the channels?
Like, don't they? Well, maybe I do. I don't know. Aren't there tiers, Jack? Yeah, like
YouTube TV, that's like a separate thing.
Yeah. Like,
I think
just,
you can watch live TV via YouTube or something like that.
So, Jack, you also do the $12 a month deal?
Yeah. Yeah, for the no ads, yep.
We get access to, like, some movies and stuff, too, right? On occasion?
I think so. So, I know at least on my phone, like, it was the only way that I could actually, like, do picture-in-picture type thing where you could... You could watch things on YouTube and then also do things on your phone at the same time. Otherwise, it would just like shut down if you tried to play a game while you're watching a YouTube video.
iPad, so I don't worry about that.
But like YouTube without commercials, that's a game changer. Like I can't imagine ever going back because they play so many fucking commercials if you don't have
Thing, like when Nick and I are on the porch and because we have YouTube on all day usually.
Yeah.
If not a pirate game. And basically, it's only like, it's usually a 10-second commercial after a video, and then you just can hit skip, and then the next video's on. It's like for 10 seconds. I don't know. For $12 a month, I'll just hit the skip button.
But yeah, like what do you? But do you watch like you just watch videos, like music videos, or do you watch like? Okay, well, yeah, I don't know. But if you're watching like long form stuff, I guess like
they break commercial a lot.
Like interviews, stuff, interrupt them, and.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So you're with the $12 a month, when you're watching these fucking Love Boats on YouTube, like, does it look like somebody fucking filmed it through grandma's screen?
No.
Outside?
It's TV. It's just like normal TV. Yeah.
Okay. All
right.
Is it high def TV? Like, wow, I can really see Jerry Stiller's Or is it like
I did see an episode the other night with Jerry Stiller on it. He was on there, so
yeah, of course you.
And Ann Mirror played his wife too. So yeah. What's that?
How young did he look?
Yeah, he had like brown hair and a mustache, and so yeah, he looked young.
Never handsome though, huh?
Yeah, he always looked like he was 50, no matter what. Yeah. You know?
Lemon ices.
But, yeah, so I don't know. I because I also I like to listen to a lot of like old time radio show stuff, you know. And like, they're usually like 6 hour videos. So if you, if there's, they put commercials into those, it's really fucking annoying, you know?
Oh.
But the old school commercials about like,
coal. Yeah, the old school commercials are awesome. Yeah, blue coal. Yeah.
I still, you know, I still hit the Honeymooners hard every, not, I have, the last couple weeks I've been listening to other things, but I still watch the Honeymooners a lot on Tubi.
Nice.
I love Honeymooners.
I should find something else, but like, man, Love Boat is quality entertainment.
Dude, I'm telling you, watch the goddamn just started season one, maybe around episode 10 or 12 after the old Alice is there. And just start watching them. They're fucking, like, there's times where, like, I'm almost asleep and then I just start fucking cracking up because, like, the jokes are fucking funny.
Yeah, well, yeah, the Honeymooners. It's, yeah, it's.
Yeah, it's not funny. Like, it's fun.
It's great. It's a good job. Audrey Meadows was on an episode of The Love Boat.
Oh, oh nice.
That's,
Jackie, Gleason was way into UFOs and shit.
Yeah, he had a house shaped like a UFO, right?
Apparently, like, Nixon allegedly took him to an alien or something. Is there some story? Oh, yeah. I think it was Nixon.
Yes. That is the rumor that he went to,
The Secret History of Twin Peaks book they talked
about.
Yeah,
that's right.
Okay. All right.
Is it Abrams Air Force Base or where did he take him to? Or, I don't know. I can't remember. But, yeah. Saw Space Monkey, apparently.
Yeah.
I don't know. Jackie, did you watch anything this past week?
Not a whole lot. Still watching the X-Men 97. This was like the second part of the three-part finale this week.
Old cartoons that they just re-released, or they took that old cartoon and made new cartoons with them?
Yeah, they tried to pick it up essentially where it left off. Like, the show was canceled in 97, so essentially this is supposed to be, you know, set around the same era, but they tried to bring some of the voice actors back who all sound very old now.
Jake is very angry about the voice acting on this show.
Yeah.
He is outraged about some of this. Like, they have a lady in like her 60s playing Rogue and he is irate.
You can tell. You can definitely tell.
I don't want to touch you. You know.
Kind of like when you listen to that, you know, that, Nelly Merchant album where she like re-recorded her songs from Tiger Lily, and it's like, oh yeah, he sounds much older. Oh.
I hear you.
But so yeah, this was kind of like a divided episode. Like, half the team went to fight Bastion and the like the Prime Sentinels and stuff, and then half was going to deal with Magneto, who's, you know, out there wrecking shit now that he's been freed. And like, there was a weird thing where like, now they're all wearing, they're not like wearing their 90s costumes anymore. I guess the mansion was destroyed, so they had to like go to Muir Island and they only had their old costumes. So like, Rogue is wearing like the green and white now, like her early costume. Like, Wolverine's finally wearing like the brown. Like, Marvel Girl's back in like the yellow mask and the green skirt and all that stuff.
Well, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah. That was interesting. They didn't really, it doesn't explain like why Nightcrawler is still wearing the same costume, because he, you know, didn't have another costume. And then like, they made Cable like an X-Man costume. Like, where did that come from? If you have the capability to make costumes, then where did you, like, why didn't you just do that for yourselves? Why didn't you get a new costume? So that was weird, but, so it kind of ended, like, you can kind of tell from the beginning of the episode where this was heading, because they started mentioning stuff like about the Magneto protocols and stuff like that, and Magneto was back in space with his, like, you know, space base and stuff like that, and you're like, oh shit, I think they're gonna actually do Fatal Attractions here. And, yeah, sure enough, that's where it went.
I don't know what that means. They find a rabbit in a boiling pot of water?
Yeah. Well, the team that went up to fight Magneto, included Wolverine and Professor X and some others.
Again, that seems like the dumbest thing ever, to send Wolverine to fight Magneto.
Yeah, just, well, yeah, sure was, because this is the story where Wolverine gets the mansion ripped out of him.
Oh, that's basically
so it ends. Yeah, Wolverine stabs Magneto in the back with the claws, and then Magneto's like, well, now you're getting this, and he just rips the adamantium out of him. So, yeah, we'll see how that ends next week. But, yeah, that was cool.
Adult cartoon or just for the kids?
It is a little more adult, I would say, than it used to be, for sure.
Does anybody?
What?
Well, what I was going to ask is, does anybody beat anybody with Charles?
Not in this one yet. I'm the juggernaut.
God damn, I want to get fucking.
Yeah, so funny. I hope those guys do something with this show. That would be amazing. There hasn't been any juggernaut. There's been very few villains, which is kind of a problem. They've been dealing with Bastion a lot and like the Sentinels. It's like, Sentinels are kind of the least interesting villains, to be honest. They're just a little bit.
Who's Bastion?
He is like, in the comics, he was a combination of the Master Mold, which is like the big robot that makes Sentinels, and like a futuristic Sentinel called Nimrod. And they went through the Siege Perilous, which is like this thing that would like judge you and like rebirth you.
Larry is so confused right now.
So on the show, they changed it a little bit where like, there was an episode in the old show where Nimrod got destroyed in like the past because he was trying to assassinate Professor Xavier and stuff like that. So they're like, okay, after that, he basically turned into nanotech, like got inside a janitor guy and then impregnated the janitor guy's wife and gave birth to a robot baby, essentially. What? And that's Bastion.
Yeah. That is absurd.
Yeah, it's really weird.
There's a villain called Nimrod?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's a giant pink ribbit.
Hey, Cenk, not to change the subject, but speaking of Wolverine, are you excited about the Deadpool Wolverine movie?
He's very excited.
I could not be more excited.
It looks pretty awesome. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, it really does. I'm very excited. I haven't been excited about any of the Marvel stuff in a long time, but this one is getting me back.
I'm really happy that finally we see Wolverine in a regular old costume. And they even have his hair, like, done like it is in the comic, where it's like he's got those, you know, kind of wisps up on both sides.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. It looks kinda fun. Widows,
both sides. Yeah, it's so good. And it actually looks really solid. Like, they pulled it off.
And, you know, unless the trailer's the best.
When does it come out?
I think July.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
When are you going to get in line?
Oh, I should probably, I should start looking for when tickets go on sale. I got to get to this thing for sure.
Jenks, was that going Disney or HBO? Probably HBO. I think they have the Deadpool movies.
Yeah, but I think Disney Plus also will have to get them now that it's part of the MCU.
They swear in there, though. They said don't worry.
I think HBO Max like is selling all their stuff to everybody. I think that's why it's on, you know, everything that's on like Netflix is already on HBO Max. Like they're just, I think they're struggling so much that they're like leasing things out to other companies.
Well, I heard they're going to release a plan later this summer with Max, Disney Plus, and Hulu as one package.
Oh.
Well, that's something.
The other day, I guess.
So they just say, hey, ESPN Plus, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I almost signed up for the package again the other day, but I can't get, like, if I could just get Hulu and Disney Plus for, like, one price, I would do it. But then it's like, you throw ESPN Plus for another $2, and I'm like, nah, I don't want it now. I just don't want it. That. I don't want your ESPN.
Yep.
The Ocho.
So, alright. Anything else?
I don't think.
I think we've entertained the world of America.
Cenk, we should come up with some kind of a musical. We should come up with it. We should figure something out.
Alright.
I'm not saying something live here. Like, we should come up with some kind of musical thing where we, like, pre-record it and then we'll just release it.
Check it out, the musical.
Collaboration.
Check it out, the musical. Nah, I think they did that already. They did that.
Yeah. We'll just do tracks, send them to each other, mix it.
Yeah. Huh. Exactly.
Shield of the musical. Well,
oh, that was good. But you know what I was thinking? Are all the shields gone? Like you and I did Mackey's Clubhouses? Are they all gone forever?
No.
You know, we still have them on the computer. Yeah. I uploaded, I think, the first two seasons to Spotify, and then I just forgot and stopped doing it. But I need to get back and uploading those. But I do have them on a external hard drive right now.
Because now I'm thinking about it, like, it's, sometimes I think, like, yeah, maybe it's, but I shit on so many fucking people. Like, I couldn't even say that Michael Chiklis, because, like, at one point, like, I remember when we were watching, remember we watched the Three Stooges movie and shit?
Yeah.
And I tweeted something to him about, like, I thought he did a good job, and he replied, and he was like, oh, thanks, man, we had a good time. And then I thought, like, man, if you would listen to the episodes, how much I shit on your fucking real life daughter and stuff, like, yeah. It's just so mean-spirited.
I don't think you have to worry about Michael Chiklis listening to your show.
No, I don't, but I know there's another S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast that he was listening to and shit.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, I'm
Michael Chiklis listens to podcasts.
All nuggets and stuff. Yeah. Yes. Not everybody.
But, yeah, I was just wondering if those were all gone now that Blog Talk's out of the picture.
Yeah, I still have them. Just got to get back to uploading them at some point.
I don't think they would ever be able to sit through those and listen to me. Here, I think. We had a good time, though.
Yeah, they were very fun to do.
Yeah. It was a lot of work. That's what I was talking to Nick about the other day. Like, here's how fucked up shit is like, we were on the porch. I was, you know, we were drinking. And I was talking about it. I was like, you know, like, it was just like 4 years ago we were recording the S.H.I.E.L.D. And she's like, yeah. And I was like, how much work I put into those. Like, every episode took like two and a half hours to watch because, like, I had detailed notes, everything. And I was like, right. And, like, you know, and I was like, I got like 3 or 4 notebooks in my nightstand of like notes. And she's like, yeah. And I was like, I don't remember shit about that.
I don't even remember anymore.
I don't, like, my boss was watching it recently and she'd be like, oh, yeah, remember Vic did this and that. And I'm like, not really, no.
Yeah, that was the podcast dedicated to the show.
Yes.
I don't remember anything.
And I've drank it away. It's gone.
For it,
it's in my brain at this point. It's just kind of lodged there forever.
Yeah. Well, how much do you remember about Twin Peaks? I mean, we did a lot of Twin
Nothing.
Peaks stuff. Yeah, I don't. I don't remember much either.
Nothing. I remember I loved it, but I don't remember. Well, I wonder if that's on Netflix.
It's on one of those things.
Yeah, I remember, like, Plus or I searched recently.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, maybe Showtime. I don't have that. Enough shit.
Until they bundle Disney Plus and Hulu.
Yeah. As long as ESPN Plus isn't in there.
Yeah, fuck that. Fuck ESPN Plus.
Yeah, fuck ESPN.
All right, well, I guess we're done. Larry, thank you, buddy. Always appreciate it.
Yep.
So let's not make it 2 months again to the next one, all right?
All right.
And,
7 weeks.
Weeks. And Tuffy should be back next week, I believe. So,
I think so.
Yeah, whose pick is it? Does this count as my pick, or is this... or how do we? When Larry? No, it's Larry's pick, right? So it's not my pick.
Yeah, it's still your pick.
All right.
You know, is it my pick?
Yeah, it's my pick. Yeah, this was your pick, so now next week will be my pick. And I'm going to find that barefooted TV executive thing without the chimp.
Well, I can tell you this much: the Best of Times is on Tubi.
Oh,
do you want to watch it? It's over there.
It'll be a contender, but I don't know.
Okay.
We'll see. But, all right, Jack, thank you, buddy. Good job with the game, you know?
Yeah, no problem.
I mean, you clearly rigged it to help Larry win, but it's all right. Don't worry about it. It's no big deal.
He only knows 39 songs.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
All right, so until next week, pass the munchie-chi, Governor Gabby.
Thank you very much.